much about. So easy. You gotta put it
in perspective. Hallelujah. Anyhow, come on in, out the heat in the name of Jesus. Get out the heat, man. Come on in. Come on in and let the Lord breathe some air conditioning on you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here. This is KROQ-FM Pasadena, owned and operated by Burbank Broadcasting Company. KROQ-FM operates on an assigned frequency of 106.7 megahertz with an effective radiated power of 25,000 watts horizontal and 25,000 watts vertical as authorized by the Federal Communications Commission, Washington, D.C. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to K-Rock in Stereo. Thank you.
And now...
We're not going to take it anymore, guys! We need to tell corporate to suck it!
Suck it!
Oh, sorry. I thought everybody was going to do that.
Our feature presentation.
Where did you dig up that K-Rock stuff? That's bizarre.
That is from... Kat Corbett is the one who turned me on to it. I don't know where she got it, but that is when K-Rock went to FM.
Now in
and
stereo.
And I believe 1976, I want to say, was the year that they... migrated from the AM band to FM, and that was their announcement of the kickoff. So amazing that it has survived, huh?
Yeah, no kidding. That's bizarre. You know,
I'm always surprised when you find old things that are still on tape that somebody thought to preserve at the time.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of stuff, you know, when it's happening, you don't recognize the historical significance of it. That's just what's going on that day. It doesn't seem like history when you're living it. It's only when you look back on it that you realize the significance. But, yeah, that's the actual announcement from K-Rock going to FM.
That's weird to hear.
Crazy stuff, right?
Morning, everybody. It's brand new Kevin Amin Show. It's Thursday, the 17th of July.
And how are you doing with the monkey AIDS?
Thumbs up, man. Two thumbs up.
You like it.
This is America, right?
It is America. Well, welcome back. We missed you yesterday.
You.
Got a great show planned for you today, but first let's get started with a story that's in the news that I think is fascinating and sad, and I can't wait to see how it plays out. Have you heard about this woman, Kevin, in North Augusta, South Carolina, who has been arrested for child abandonment?
No.
Unlawful conduct toward a child? Her name is Deborah Harrell. She works at a McDonald's there inside a Walmart. She's got a 9-year-old daughter who she has been taking to work with her, and the kid would just hang out in the Walmart or hang out at the McDonald's and play on a laptop while her mom was working. It's summertime. She's not in school. The mom cannot afford daycare, so she takes her kid to work with her. Well, last week, somebody broke into their home, and the laptop got stolen. So the kid, bored now at the McDonald's restaurant, says, "Hey, Mom, can I play at the park?" And the mom says, "Sure," because there's a park nearby where the McDonald's and Walmart is, right?
Right.
9 years old. Kid goes and plays at the park. And that's how the kid is spending her days while mom is at work. Now, it's certainly less than an ideal situation to not have childcare. But
this is a regular thing? This is not a one-day thing? It's a regular, like, every day she would go to the park?
Well, it happened three times. Huh. Three times the kid went to the park. On the third time, somebody in the park, one of the parents in the park, it's a busy park with lots of kids and parents. One of the parents said, "Hey, where's your mom?" And the little girl said, "She's working. She works over there at the McDonald's." That person called the police. They came and took the girl away, who is now in foster care. The mother was arrested for child abandonment.
Wow.
For sending her 9-year-old daughter to the park.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
That's rough.
What do you think about that?
I don't know. Where was it?
South Carolina. Huh. Augusta, South Carolina. And it's created quite a firestorm of debate because it's apparently a very safe area, a very safe park with lots of people there. There's virtually no chance that somebody in a van is going to come and chloroform her and throw her into the back of the, you know, back of the van and take her away. Some people would say, yeah, but that's a possibility. You don't know. But I mean, can a 9-year-old be alone? Or do we live in a world now where nobody accepts that a 9-year-old can be? I mean, when you were 9, Kevin,
yeah,
you left the house in the morning during the summertime and came back at dark. I mean, that was your life.
Yeah, that's true.
As mine as well.
Yeah, I don't know, but that seems pretty harsh to go right to foster care.
It sure does. It seems pretty harsh to arrest the mom.
Yeah, for God's sakes.
And then the bigger picture on this story is there are a lot of people in this situation who literally cannot afford daycare and do not have somebody else to watch their kids, and they have to work. So what do you do with them? Tough story, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, we'll keep our eyes peeled. I don't know how this one is going to come out, but, you know, there's no indication.
Steal a computer from Walmart. That's what you do for the kids to play.
There's no indication that this, you know, that this, there's anything bad about this the kid's upbringing. Seems to be, you know, very close with her mother, very well taken care of. It's just a tragedy all around. It's just it's a terrible, terrible story, but I'm going to definitely keep my eyes open and see what happens. The mom is in jail, though.
Yeah, that's a little harsh.
I don't know. I mean, it sure seems like there would have been another way around that. But again, even if you meet with her, even if you just take her into an office and say, hey, what's going on with your kids? She'll say the same problem exists today as it did yesterday, is that I got no place to put her while I'm at work. So anyway, that's what's going on.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
Meta World Peace is going to be in our studio today.
How about that?
Talking about doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Stand-up comedy.
He raps, too, you know.
Love it.
This is a guy who needs to go back to basketball.
Maybe. Maybe. But I love it. I love that he raps and he's a comedian. Can't wait. Dr. Drew's on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
As usual, we have Mark Foster from Foster the People talking about this mural in downtown Los Angeles.
He's the best of all the people.
Yes, he is. Yeah. We have your tickets to Comic-Con. And we have Nat Faxon and Judy Greer in our studios from the new FX show, Married.
Very funny show.
So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. That song doesn't jerk you awake, does it?
Yeah, you're coasting with me, Ted Ziggenbusch.
It doesn't really wake you right up when you hear that.
I just wish it were Two for Tuesday so we could hear Rhiannon next. Hey, welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Thursday morning, 5:55. Our friend Ralph Garman joins us now for our very first look at what's going on in Hollywood.
Well, here's what. First of all, happy air conditioner day, everybody.
Oh, great. That's
today's.
We're celebrating that today?
Yeah.
Who knew?
On this day back in 1902, the air conditioner was invented.
Okay. How do we celebrate?
By Willis Carrier.
I would say
take your air conditioner and crank it down to like 60 degrees.
That's how you do it?
You should need a sweater today wherever you're working or going to school. That's what I'm saying.
I would put air conditioning, and this speaking as a man who doesn't have air conditioning, but I appreciate it. I would put that in the top 10 of inventions of the 20th century, guys, air conditioning, in terms of the millions of people that it has provided comfort for and changed their lives for the better.
20th century?
20th century.
I think I'd have to agree. Top 10 at least, maybe top 5. You know they used to close movie theaters in the summer?
Because it was too hot?
Too hot. They had no air conditioning.
Really?
You don't want to be in a room packed full of people in August in New York City when it's sweltering, right?
I mean, I do think I'm not smart enough to extrapolate the many ways that changed the world, but just in terms of, you know, office buildings and things like that, a lot of those things wouldn't be possible without air conditioning in hot places.
I agree. God bless you, Willis Carrier.
Good work.
Salute! All right, let's talk about show business news. Britney Spears, big, big trouble, skipped out on her bill at the Cheesecake Factory the other night. Oh, guilty!
No, she didn't.
Guilty! She said, oh, my security guy's going to pay for it. She just pointed at some random guy and ran out the door. No, apparently the security guy forgot.
No.
She feels really bad. All right, maybe not so guilty. The people are still talking about it. Also, Selena Gomez may be suffering from a serious lack of self-esteem. She just got a new tattoo, a new piece of body art that reads, love yourself in Arabic on her back.
Okay.
Apparently, she's wanted the piece for a while. She's feeling poorly about herself. This will be a reminder at all times for her to love herself. If she's looking in a mirror, and she can read Arabic,
she'll be backwards. Fine. See her back.
Maybe she's got a new boyfriend who's Arabic, and she just wants him to take care of himself and not bother her anymore. Maybe that's what it's about.
Why do so many people get tattoos in foreign languages, languages they do not speak? What's wrong with love yourself in English?
I guess because with certain characters in certain languages, like Chinese or Arabic, apparently it's got an artistic look to it. It looks like a design rather
than strange,
just
though, if you
letters.
Don't speak it at all.
Yeah, I hear you. And your boy being Weird Al Yankovic.
Yes.
He's going to be on Conan O'Brien tonight.
Boy, he's really really making the rounds this week. He's everywhere.
Al and his band will be performing a song off the new album, Mandatory Fun, tonight on Conan, if you want to check that out.
He'll be joining us tomorrow on the Kevin Bean Show as well.
And it may be the end of her 15 minutes for Farrah Abraham.
Oh, good.
At least she may want to rethink one part of her career, her writing career. You know, she's got a new novel out.
I did not
know
that.
New erotic novel that she's written.
Okay.
And she recently had a book signing here in Los Angeles. According to In Touch magazine, she sat there and sat there and sat there.
No one showed
not
up?
Not one single person showed up at the book signing.
Oh, my God. Nobody stumbled in on accident?
No.
Oh, my God.
No.
Anybody? Anyone?
You think at least somebody from the CDC would show up and try to get a swab to see if she was patient zero for some outbreak of syphilis or something, but nothing. Nobody showed up.
Farrah Abramson?
So apparently Farrah's not
that's rough.
Not a popular authoress.
Wonder how long she stayed.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Former motocross rider Kerry Hart celebrates his 39th birthday today. Jason Clarke, who is so good in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes as Malcolm, as the guy who tries to build a bridge of peace between the apes and the humans, and does not have a lot of success. He's 45 years old. Actor Alex Winter, you may remember him from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Excellent! He's 49 years old. Mark Burnett is 54. The Hoff!
This is a mess.
David Hasselhoff celebrates his 62nd birthday today. Geezer Butler, bassist for Black Sabbath, is 65. And legendary actor Donald Sutherland. You know him from those Hunger Games movies. He's 79 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
CBS Monday. The creator of 2.5 Men and The Big Bang Theory has taken you from Malibu to outer space. Now he explores a whole new frontier.
When were you going to tell me you quit drinking?
Mom, I was afraid if I call you, I'd just start again.
Motherhood.
I have come to understand that you were the best daughter you could be. My job is to forgive you, which I do.
You forgive me?
Anna Faris and Allison Janney star in Mom.
I've come a long way.
New comedy, Monday, only CBS.
CBS Friday. Undercover Boss is the show that redefined reality television.
It was an awesome experience.
These bosses aren't just changing jobs.
I saw things that blew my mind.
They're changing lives.
I'm going to give you $100,000.
No, you're not.
Don't miss the Emmy-winning Boss.
We live in a shelter now. Things are going to get better.
I think I did need someone to come into my life and tell me that I matter.
Undercover Boss. CBS Friday.
The death penalty. Use it or lose it.
This ruling is huge.
In 36 years, California has only executed 13 people, 741 men and women wait on death row. The system is broken. The endless delays constitute a cruel and unusual punishment, unconstitutional, whether we use the gurney or not. So ruled a federal judge in Orange County. Victims' rights groups outraged.
Only two justices total have ever bought it. So it's going to be reversed on appeal at some point.
Up in Stockton. A running gun battle over streets and freeways ends in death for two bank robbers and one hostage. Two other hostages were tossed injured from the vehicle. Endless confusion between Israel and Hamas. There may or may not be a ceasefire. There may or may not be violations. Israel is calling up reserves, ready to move into Gaza. 72 to 82 later. 66 at K-Rock. I'm Doc on the Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. 106.7 KROQ FM and HD. Pasadena, Los Angeles, Orange County. The world famous K-Rock. Alternative first.
Many days fell away with nothing to
you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all? And if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like you've been here before? How I'm beginning to be an optimist about this. How I'm beginning to be an optimist about this. We were caught up and lost in all of our vices. Tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it hurt? And the walls kept tumbling down in the city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above. But if you close your eyes, does it hold?
Six point seven K Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:06.
That brand new K Rock summer sticker is out there and available for you at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. Mugs on the road again today. Where are you going to be? The Hot Topic store in Brea, I guess, right?
Yeah, 2005A Brea Mall.
But they don't serve food there. What?
Oh no, there's a food court in every mall.
Right. Oh, there is a food court. Yeah,
he's done some research.
Muggs is going to be there with all sorts of tickets to K-Rock shows, including Slightly Stupid, also Nine Inch Nails, the 1975, and a bunch of other K-Rock prizes. You can get the details at K-Rock.com. And while you're there, go ahead and sign up to win that 2014 Dodge Challenger. Stickers available at all Hot Topic locations. Ralph, I'm glad you're here, because we want to continue that conversation that we started yesterday when you brought us the shocking news about how much money Kim Kardashian's going to make off of this new game, on this new app on her phone.
Kim Kardashian Hollywood, the new app that you can play on your phone. I think it's number two right now in all iPhone apps on at their store. It's a free download, but you do have to spend money to play the game if you want to get shoes or some effing thing. Anyway, they're speculating it's going to make $200 million for this year, for a single year. And Kim Kardashian's cut of that will be $85 million.
Did you say $85 million? And what do you guess her contribution to that game was? Just giving them her name?
And she recorded some lines. She speaks to you throughout the game, too. She goes, bye, ball. That looks so good on you. Let's get a tan. Oh, no. Paparazzi.
So that's worth $85 million in a year.
Nothing she does is worth $85 million in a lifetime.
$85 million in 1 year.
So I wonder how many downloads are they getting on this thing then? It's got to be millions and millions and millions, right?
Like I said, it's the first or second most downloaded app at the iTunes store right now for Apple phones, for iPhones.
What's the deal with her in that she didn't just appear and was an ingenue and was the it girl for a year or two? it's been 10 years now. We've been living with Kim Kardashian, and it seems like she's getting more popular every year for doing less.
It's madness. I can't understand the attraction for anyone. I don't understand why anyone would watch that show. For me, it's unwatchable. The people,
same.
It's completely no one on there is likable, and nothing happens on that show. It's just a bunch of them sitting around a table bitching about shit.
That's nice. Nice, Ralph.
Bitching about stuff.
Bitching about stuff. And she doesn't create anything. She doesn't sing. She doesn't dance. She doesn't act. She doesn't
Well, she's hot.
Well, but there's a million hot girls in
the world.
I know,
but I just want to put that out there. That's one thing.
Many hotter than her.
Not making $85 million this year. I agree.
She doesn't even model. She doesn't, like... she doesn't even use her looks to earn a living. What does she do?
and why are you watching her do it?
I'm not, but...
But people are.
People are, yeah, I agree.
What the hell's going on?
I would be fascinated to talk to people who consider themselves fans of Kim Kardashian.
Like the girl who spent $30,000 to surgically alter herself to be like her because she worships her so much?
Yes, like her.
Did you say $30,000?
Yeah, $30,000 of plastic surgery. We talked about her yesterday. Claire Leeson's her name, to get herself to look as much like Kim Kardashian as she possibly could.
Who considers himself or herself a fan of Kim Kardashian and why? Hold on. I want to see how many Twitter followers she has, because these are people who care enough about her to actually want to hear what she has to say throughout the day.
Bible, look at this selfie, ass, picture, sand. That's what she says in a given day.
And also, if you have downloaded the game, I mean, there must be a lot of Kevin and Bean listeners who have downloaded this Kim Kardashian app, right? I mean, if it's selling millions of copies, a lot of our listeners would have it. Why do you want to pretend to be Kim Kardashian in this app? All right, here we go. I have her Twitter page up.
All right.
22.1 million people follow Kim Kardashian on Twitter so that they can see posts like her most recent ones, dressed in Givenchy, whatever that is. With a photo. A whirlwind in Paris. I'll be at Ultra Beauty in Midtown Crossing on August 6th. Who's coming to see me? I mean, that's what you're getting when you follow Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, so it's basically, hey, look at me.
You get commercials.
You get commercials.
Yeah. You get commercials, huh. Right. So what's the draw there? It's not previously unseen snaps from her sex tape.
Right.
Right?
No, not at all. That's crazy.
I mean, I know it's weird that it seems like we're asking this question now when Kim Kardashian has been popular for a long time, but it's insane how much more popular she seems to be now, especially with this new app.
I think it's more valid now because there's a ton of people who are hot for a minute. You know, there's something happens, they're in the news, or they have a hit single or a hit series, or they're in a commercial. I mean, there's a lot of reasons people get suddenly famous and people spend a lot of attention on them. But for me, the longevity of this Kardashian thing is what the reason it makes it a viable question to ask now is who's watching. Because I can't imagine once the luster wears off of whatever it is that she had to offer, which was basically her banging Ray J in a video. That was the best thing
she had
to offer.
That's how she got famous.
Then once that had kind of waned, you would think, all right, then people would lose interest. Like Paris Hilton, for example. Paris Hilton was white hot.
Yeah.
She was white hat. She had a reality show. She had done her sex tape. She was everywhere. You couldn't avoid Paris Hilton. And then, rightly so, America got bored with that shiny plaything, and we tossed it aside. Now,
moved on. You barely hear from her.
Hard to find any news about Paris
Hilton.
That's true. Right. But this Kardashian thing won't go away. It's like herpes.
1-800-520-1067. If you are a fan of Kim Kardashian and or have an explanation as to why she remains so popular. It's interesting. I'm looking at the things that people tweet about and to Kim Kardashian, and it seems to be mostly girls, and a lot of them are addicted to this Kim Kardashian game. I'll tell you that. Man, there are people just obsessed with it.
What happens in the game? What do you do? What's
you shop.
You shop.
You tan. You walk red carpets.
Okay.
You avoid the paparazzi.
Do you have an a-hole husband?
You have an a-hole husband who's a creative genius. And the goal is to become a star, apparently. Somehow you do that. But here's the thing. Like, here's how they make their money. If you go shopping and you want the $4,000 Louis blah, blah, blah shoes.
Right.
It costs you four real dollars. And you have to buy those virtual shoes with real money. But you don't get to virtually wear them.
You know what?
You just
you don't have
you
them.
Do. But you get points, I guess, somehow, and then it works towards your star points and then become a star.
Do you ever make money on it? Or no, you just spend money on
it. Yes.
For nothing.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
But why would people do that?
Because you then are besties with Kim Kardashian.
You're not.
You're she goes, Bible, you look so good on that. You look so good.
All right, let's take one call real quick before the break. We're looking for people who consider themselves Kim Kardashian fans. And by the way, can we say, because I think maybe some people may be afraid that we're just going to yell at them, we're going to listen to what you have to say. We're going to try to understand what the appeal is, right? We're not going to be mean to people.
Bean's going to listen to people.
And then after we listen, we're going to yell at him.
Yeah.
1-800-520-1067. What is going on with this? How are we into the third decade, it feels like, of following Kim Kardashian around? Let's go to Megan. She's in Long Beach. She's on line one. Maybe she can help us understand.
Hey, Megan.
Hey, guys.
You're stupid.
Oh, sorry.
Bean, you just said. No, Megan, seriously, what's going on here?
Okay, so the reason why I'm a fan is because I come from a really close-knit family. I have a really close sister and mom, and my mom and my sister are totally obsessed with Kim Kardashian. We call ourselves the mini Kardashians. And that's mainly because when you come from a close-knit family and you all end up having the same problems and everyone's always in your business, so it's kind of interesting to see how the celebrities have a close-knit family, basically the same thing. They're completely loaded, but they have the same problems as you.
So you identify with Kim Kardashian. You feel like you're seeing something play out on the TV screen that reminds you of your own life, and that's entertaining to you.
Absolutely. I have a kid outside of wedlock, and I'm getting married in October. So basically, I went through the same thing she did, not married. And it's interesting in 2014 how that can happen, and it's not so much of a problem anymore as it used to be.
But if you're living the life, and you have that family, and you have it real, why do you need to watch a show where some spoiled rich bitch is doing it on television?
It's just funny, and it's good entertainment.
Do you like her? Is she somebody you think you would enjoy spending time with?
I think so. I think that she might be kind of a little bit fake at first, but I still think that she has that close-knit family bond, so she is somebody you could connect to.
Were you pleased when she married Kanye, or were you against that?
Oh, no, I hate Kanye.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
I absolutely hate him because I'm a big T-Swift fan, and I couldn't believe he did that ever since then.
Wow.
I will not listen to his music. I have nothing to do with him. Totally not a fan. I think he's a total douchebag.
A Kardashian fan and a Taylor Swift fan.
Wow.
You've got it all, Megan.
You're the hat trick of bad.
Megan, I'm with you, baby. Thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it.
All right.
Those two things sure make the hat trick.
They do, don't they?
1-800-520-1067. Megan was a very good caller, by the way.
She was a horrible person, but a good caller.
And we want to hear what you have to say. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. I'm on Kim Kardashian's blog right
now.
Let's see what we got going on here. I went apartment hunting in New York City. It's crazy to see the difference between L.A. real estate and New York real estate. Wow. I wore this nude-colored Wolford dress and Tom Ford gold chain heels. Oh. And yes, I wear these heels all the time because they blend in with my skin color so well, and they look nude.
Mm.
They're the perfect shoes.
Well, now I'm going to start reading because that's fascinating.
Does she do commercials every single time she opens her mouth?
Oh, yeah.
Is that like everything on Twitter, everything on her blog, everything?
Everything.
I think she gets paid a lot.
She gets paid
for a lot of
for
things.
Wow.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Look, we all know Kim Kardashian is popular and has been for years, but it seems like now it's breathless coverage of her all the time. Like, she's become our queen, it seems like. And we're all trying to figure out why. We must have Kevin and Bean listeners who love Kim Kardashian. There's no way she could be this popular with this many people and not have at least some of those people listening to our show, right?
And what cheeses me off is, for what she did, the sex tape, she wasn't even that good at that. I mean, I know a lot of
looked
women.
Pretty good to me.
I know a lot of women who do a lot better work in sex tapes than she did. And who get no fame and attention. I know a lot of women who are better models, who are better spokespeople. I mean, everything that she does, there's someone out there who's as attractive doing it better, getting one-tenth of the attention that she
gets. That's right. That's true. And then, of course, let's go to Jim real quick in Placentia. He's on line three. And then, of course, now that we find out that she might make $85 million in a year off of people pretending to be her in a phone app. I mean, it just takes you to a whole nother level. Jim, can you help us understand what's going on with this Kardashian thing?
Yeah, she's become a really popular personality for two reasons, basically. One, she's very attractive. She's bootylicious, okay? All the guys would like to have a woman that looks and has the personality of a woman such as herself, at least the way that the the media makes her out to be. I mean, I don't know how she is in real life, but as far as I'm concerned, I mean, she's very attractive, and she's really, like, spiritually grounded.
All right, hang on one second.
Is this me doing a voice? Is this me?
You're blowing my mind that I'm looking at Ralph, yet also apparently talking to him on the phone.
Slow down.
How is this happening?
How is she spiritually grounded?
Well, you know, they always say prayer, and they believe, you know, they act like they're believers.
They're acting like they're believers, all right.
Right.
But who's more greed-based or fame-based? I mean, who worships the shallowness of...
Yeah,
our culture more than that family.
When you get thrown into that category of financial success, that, you know, like, for instance, sure, she hooked up with Kanye West. You know, I mean, he's very wealthy, and, you know, I mean, she has a thing for black guys. But whatever, you know, that's all good.
Sure,
you know, whatever.
Good. I'm not sure I'm following your point, but Jim, let me go back to one thing that you said. We can all agree that she's gorgeous. She's a beautiful, beautiful girl. As Ralph points out, there are lots of other women just as prettier, though. You said you think she also has a good personality. What are you basing that on? Have you never seen her interviewed?
Well, I'm talking about, like, on her show on the E Channel. You know, when she's interacting with her.
What do you like about what she says? She doesn't seem like a particularly nice person.
Oh, just the fact that she's concerned with her health and her overall health and appearance, and she's just, you know, she likes to live a life, a full life, it seems like.
Are you punking us?
No, I'm serious. I mean,
do you watch the Kardashians?
I've viewed it several times.
Do you have the game? Do you have this video game that they're talking about?
No,
the
app.
No. Yeah, yeah.
That's all materialistic bullshit.
Right.
Right.
That's not what the Kardashians are about, I'll tell you that. Right. It's materialistic BS.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, their mother has a lot to do with that. But, I mean, you know, but as far as a person, overall person, she seems to be a sweet girl.
All right. Listen, Jim, we're out of time.
How can we be out of time? I can talk to Jim all day.
We need you as the Kevin and Bean correspondent to comment on all issues, though. So will you hold on? We need to get your phone number, okay?
All right.
Jim
is my man.
I was not expecting that. Jim. How did you do it, Ralph? How are you throwing your voice?
I've developed a new skill. I'm now a ventriloquist.
Wow, that's... One of our favorite people in the whole wide world, Miss Judy Greer herself, joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, along with another guy we think a lot of, Nat Faxon, her co-star on the new FX show called Married. That's coming up. Also, Dr. Drew on the program today, Mark Foster from Foster the People, and Meta World Peace, ex-Laker, I guess most recently on the New York Knicks, now doing stand-up comedy. He joins us in the 9 o'clock hour this morning here on K-Rock.
I can't wait to ask him about his stand-up comedy. That's a little bizarre to me. Let's talk about the drought in California. You're going to start getting...
The drought is a real deal, by the way.
It is. You're going to start getting fined if you are washing down your driveway, which I don't know anybody who does that. But if you water your outside lawn, you might get fined.
Yeah, they're taking this pretty seriously. By the way, Kevin, you're one of those people who hates it when it rains.
Yeah,
you'd be happy if 365 days a year it was dry.
Right.
But that's called a drought.
Yeah, it's not good.
When people say you need the rain, you really need the rain. Since they've been keeping records back in, like, I don't know, the 1860s or something like that, this is the least amount of water that California has had. I mean, it's as bad as it has ever been since they've been recording. And it's getting to the point now where the government is, California Water Resource Control Board, Department of Water and Power, people like that are stepping in going, look, it's unsustainable like this. We're not going to be able to live here if we don't start taking seriously count of the water that we're using, because we're using way too much of it. And it's so bad now, you're talking about these fines for washing down your driveway and stuff, is that there's something called drought shaming now, where neighbors are going to be turning in neighbors. Where
Sweet.
if you're out there watering your grass or something like that, somebody's going to drop a dime on you, and the government's going to come around and slap a fine on you.
That's not what you want, is it?
I feel like we're almost living in a sci-fi movie, one of those movies where the world is at war over water. You know, I mean, it's a pretty serious drought situation. And we wanted to find out more about this. So we asked Dave, who can we speak to? And we have from the Department of Water and Power, Dr. Clark Menlo, who joins us now. Dr. Menlo, thanks so much for the time, sir.
Oh, my goodness. Thanks for having me on your show, Kevin and Bean.
Well, it's great to talk to you.
What's so funny? It's a drought. It's serious.
It is a drought. You're right.
It is very, very serious. And the worst since record keeping has been kept in the state of California.
Yeah, the worst one ever.
Right. So what about this? What kinds of things should our listeners be doing to make it, make whatever water we have go further?
This is a critical situation that calls for dire circumstances.
Right.
So you really need to conserve water in every way possible. For example, for your toilet usage.
Yes.
You know the old saying, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down.
Yes, right.
Well, we've changed that.
Oh, no.
If it's brown, keep it around.
Nope.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Nope.
We're asking you never to flush your toilet.
That is a terrible suggestion.
Not really. We need to save the water.
Right, but shouldn't anything else be eliminated before not flushing poop?
You know how many gallons of water you use every time you flush the toilet?
I don't know.
Several.
Okay, you don't know either, do you?
No, but it's some.
Okay.
So don't flush.
Don't do ever.
No, just poop.
Okay. But for a day?
Forever. Invest in some Ziploc bags if you have to.
That's a terrible idea.
That's too much. Put it in your closet.
Wow.
That's too much.
Dig a hole. Do something.
Okay, dig a hole.
Also, coffee and tea. A lot of people drink coffee and tea.
Right.
You know how much water is used in Los Angeles County alone making coffee?
How much?
A lot.
Right, you don't know either.
No, but it's some.
It is some water. That's
Stop
true.
It. Now just chew coffee beans.
A lot of people can't live without their coffee in the
right.
morning.
Oh, I know. I'm one of them.
Okay.
So I just get some instant coffee and I just pour it in my mouth and chew it.
Okay. And does that give you the same result?
Same exact result.
All right.
Saliva makes an excellent mix for coffee.
I see.
Okay. Just and you save so much water that way.
You do. And your teeth get a lovely mauve color.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Also, if you see someone in your neighborhood watering their lawn, or having their sprinklers on more than once a week, just shoot them.
I don't think that's what the government is saying.
Call the GWP. We'll send you a gun.
That's not true. That's not
possible. You can't kill someone just for watering their lawn.
You can, and then poop in their house.
Nope.
When they're dead, use their house as a poop house.
I think once you tell people to murder, you might be crossing a line.
I didn't say murder.
You said shoot.
Different.
Oh, okay. Right. My bad.
This is official DWP policy, Dr. Bedlow?
As far as you know, yes.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:50.
Thursday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the show biz beat. What's going on?
What the heck's going on over at Marvel? That's what I want to know.
You tell us.
Big comic book news.
Yeah! I'm controlling the morning. What's going on?
Captain America, gone. See ya, Cap.
What do you mean, gone?
Replaced. There's a new Cap in town.
Is it a girl, like with Thor?
No, Marvel CEO Joe Quesada was on the Colbert Report last night to make the announcement. They announced Thor being a woman on The View, then on Colbert Report, they made the following announcement.
Don't break my heart here. Am I the next Captain America? Right, Joe, if I'm not the next Captain America, who is?
Sam Wilson, his partner, the Falcon, is becoming the new Captain America.
The Falcon?
The Falcon.
Well, if there is one bird associated with America, it is the Falcon.
Yeah,
now,
Sam Wilson,
wait.
The African-American sidekick for a long time to Captain America, known as the Falcon, will now take over the role as Captain America. We've got an African-American Captain America, people.
Woo! Where's the other Captain America
USA.
Going?
USA! USA! Captain America has lost his powers, Bean. You know that.
I didn't know that.
He had the super serum sucked out of him by Iron Nail.
Oh, Iron Nail again?
Now he's lost his superpowers, and he's aging to the age he would be as a World War II vet.
Oh, I see.
He's like Louis Zamperini now.
Sure.
So how is the Falcon going to get the Captain America superpowers? How is he going to get the venom in him or whatever?
It's not venom, first of all.
The radiation.
Or whatever,
it is.
Whatever. It's not radiation.
Whatever.
For God's sakes, it's super soldier serum.
Yeah.
Well, then how does he get it?
He doesn't get it. He just has to use his athleticism and his powers and his
It's not much of a Captain America.
Strength. It is a Captain America.
But he doesn't have extra strength or anything?
He doesn't have the magic?
Neither does Batman. Batman doesn't have any magic, but he's still kicking ass and taking names.
Right, but Captain America does stuff that humans can't do because of the super serum. How is the Falcon going to be as good a Captain America?
You just don't get it, man.
I'm very confused by this.
We have a new Cap. Get used to it, people. Thor's a girl. Captain America's a black dude.
All right.
Okay. We live in new times, new world.
But Captain America's still here. It's just a different person.
Yes.
All right. So what?
But Thor's still here, and now it's a woman.
Well,
that's
okay.
It's different. It's a big change. Steve Rogers is no longer Captain America.
This is also pointless.
It's not pointless, man. It's a new world we live in. It's a reflection of the times. In response,
look,
DC has announced that Green Lantern is now going to be an albino with a hair lip.
Really?
Yeah. Because you got to mix it up, man.
Wow. Sounds like it.
New energies.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Look, there's two things I know, is that you can't have a black president and you can't have a black Captain America.
See?
Neither of those things will ever happen.
See? It's people like you, man. It's people like you. You know what that means. This is good news. You know that play that Bryan Cranston was doing on Broadway about Lyndon Baines Johnson, our president?
Yes.
Called All the Way. A lot of people wanted to see it, didn't get a chance to go to New York. HBO Films has just bought the rights. They're going to make a TV movie out of it. And Cranston will reprise his role as LBJ. He's going to be playing in it. So we get that. The guy who wrote the play is going to be writing the script for the film. And we'll get to see President Lyndon Baines Johnson talk about his pants. And see how his pants fit. Maybe his pants don't fit.
Believe me, you never do have much margin there. But see if you can't leave me about an inch from where the zipper ends, around under my, back to my bunghole.
Yeah, our classiest president.
Now, Kevin, you're at
bunghole.
You're excited about
I love that more than anything.
A three-hour stage play about President Johnson, right?
Not really, no. But if it's Bryan Cranston, maybe. But no.
By all accounts, he was pretty terrific.
Unless he talks a lot about his bunghole.
I think he won a Tony for it, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah. Hey, here's some news. Rose McGowan's still a bitch.
How dare you?
Yeah. Apparently, she went off on some people on Twitter this week. She posted a picture of herself wearing sunglasses on Twitter.
Right.
And in everyone's defense, who chimed in, saying she looked like Michael Jackson, she looked like Michael Jackson.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. Because she got that pointy little nose, and she's all pale and bleached out, and she was wearing the aviators, and she looked like Michael Jackson. So people humorously tweeted, "Hey, you look just like Michael Jackson." Well, she went ballistic. If I've learned anything, it's you don't criticize Rose McGowan. She went off on people saying he was black trying to turn himself white. I'm Irish, and then had some choice words for the loser. She said who tweeted that she looked like Michael Jackson.
Take it easy.
That's what I'm saying.
Who cares?
Take it easy. It's just Twitter, man. But she's upset, so maybe you want to go on there and go on Twitter and say something nice about her, if you can find anything.
Or.
And you know this show, a hip-hop, Love and Hip-Hop Atlanta, Love and Hip-Hop series? You know the Love and Hip-Hop series?
No.
It's on VH1. And it's hip-hop artists and their significant others. It's kind of like Real Housewives.
Okay.
Yeah, that kind of thing. It's Love and Hip-Hop, and they've got different cities. In Atlanta, they had a reunion special in New York City this week. And apparently things got out of control. There was a knockdown, drag-out brawl between all the cast members right in front of the VH1 cameras. And by all accounts, it's pretty spectacular. So
all right.
You might want to tune in for that one. I don't watch the show, but I will check this one.
When is that?
It does not say when that's going to air.
I have a clip if you'd like to hear
something. Oh, yeah, sure.
Seems like it got a little out of hand.
Somebody keeps dropping that tire iron. I wish they would just hold on to it.
You could do more damage with it that way.
You looking forward to Dwayne The Rock Johnson's Hercules?
Sort of.
Good. I think it looked good to me.
Okay, I was afraid you were going to beat me down.
No.
I think
the trailer looked pretty good to me.
I like The Rock, and I think he's good.
Hercules.
That's overwhelming.
I won't, there's no way I'll go see
Hercules.
It.
Hercules.
I hope it's good, and I hope he does well.
I'll see it.
But Hercules.
Yeah.
He's in amazing shape. I mean, he's always been amazing shape, but this thing, he looks twice as big and buff and huge.
Worked out to insane levels.
The woman.
I mean, his neck looks like he's 40 inches around now or something.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He went into serious training to play the strongest man on earth. He would have 7 meals per day to support that workout regimen, including every day he would eat 50 ounces of fish steak and chicken.
Wow. Yummy.
50 ounces of protein a day.
Muggs does that, but he doesn't work out ever.
And it's 50 ounces of Twinkie a day, which is different. Can you imagine eating 50 ounces of protein?
No.
No, I cannot.
That's a lot.
I also can't imagine looking like that. So,
well,
what are you going to do?
I guess if you work out that hard, you work up that kind of appetite. But I thought it was
but
crazy.
Would you ever want to have to sustain that body, though?
Well, you
could if you got to it.
You'd have to stop. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure after he was done filming, he didn't keep working out and living like that.
He still looked huge last night on the ESPYs, I'll tell you that.
Now he looks like Bean. He just stopped working out and just sat on his couch and put on round glasses.
Watch TV. Put on round glasses.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kerry Hart, the motocross rider, 39 years old. Jason Clark from Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, he's 45. Alex Winter, half of Bill and Ted, he is 49. Producer Mark Burnett's 54. David Hasselhoff, 62. Geezer Butler, bassist for Black Sabbath, is 65. And actor Donald Sutherland celebrates his 79th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Judy Greer and Nat Faxon join us in studio coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited about them stopping by and their new show called Married. Also, Mark Foster from Foster the People on the program today. Dr. Drew, Meta World Peace, Weird Al tomorrow. And Weezer Monday coming in bright and early to world premiere their brand new song for us here on the world famous K-Rock. Seems like Weezer's been away for a minute. I'm very excited about seeing those guys.
Let's talk about Casey Kasem. Why has he not been buried yet? What's up with that?
Well, he has been dead for over a month now, Kevin. You remember that there was, first of all, I should back up by saying, for people who don't know who Casey Kasem is, he was a very popular disc jockey for a long time who ran a countdown show, had a countdown show where you count down, you do play the most popular songs of the day in order, for about 40 years. And he died, and he's been in a funeral home in Tacoma, Washington. And over a month now, and he's been released. The family can take him, and his wife Jean is at some point going to arrange for a burial, but that call hasn't come yet. So he's just in a back room somewhere in a funeral home.
What's their policy on that? I mean, can you just leave him there forever?
I would think some point you have a garage sale or something to get rid of all claimed items. Is that how it usually works? Lost and found?
Why hasn't anyone tried to give him a burial?
Well, it's not up to his kids. Remember, it was very contentious the way Mr. Kasem died because, you know, there was all the talk about his wife, Jean Kasem, wouldn't allow his kids from his first marriage to see him. And eventually they got all that worked out. So they were able to spend time with him before he died. But it's not up to them to bury him. It's up to his wife. His wife is the one who is of that. I've heard conflicting reports. I've heard nothing. They haven't heard a word from her at the funeral home. And then I've also heard that she is interested in conducting a private autopsy to fight the claims that were made in Casey's last days of elder abuse.
But now, she's going to wait for another month? Or
I don't know what difference that makes now that he's already gone. But we wanted to find out more about this and what it's like for poor Casey Kasem, who just wants to be buried and is laying in a box somewhere in Tacoma, Washington. So let's fire up the hotline to heaven and see if we can get the great Mr. Kasem on the line with us here on K-Rock.
Hello?
Hello. Oh, there he is. Hey, Casey. Hi. What a thrill to talk to you, sir.
I was expecting to hear some angels and things.
I was, too. I couldn't figure out where they were either. Whose job was that? Oh, there we go.
There they are.
Yeah. Much better. So,
Kevin
Casey.
And Bean, how you guys doing?
Well, we're fine. It's an honor and a thrill to talk to you.
Well, it's great to hear from you guys.
Now, you're dead, right?
I am dead.
And you're up there in heaven, but I'm sure you're still paying attention with what's going on down here at Earth, looking down, seeing your sad little corpse lying in a room in Tacoma.
You know what's funny?
What?
I can now reach the stars.
Yeah.
But I can't get my feet in the ground.
That's true.
That's true.
It's sad.
Kind of ironic. That
ironic.
It
is.
It sure is.
So, you have no way of contacting your widow, Jean, but you can't be pleased with the decisions that she's making about what's happening to your body, right?
I gotta tell you, Jean, not a great wife.
Yeah, doesn't seem like it.
She didn't take great care of me when I was alive, and even worse care when I'm dead.
It does seem like that. It seems like there would... you'd want the closure of burying your husband, I would imagine, rather than just, you know, kind of sort of forgetting about him.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm in a better place now.
Right.
But I'd still like to be buried.
Well, your body is still just sitting around waiting for someone to do something with it.
I'm in a fridge.
Right.
And I'd like to be in Forest Lawn.
Right.
Yeah, that would make a lot more sense. Absolutely.
So if you don't mind, I'd like to send a message to my wife, Jean Kasem.
Oh, okay. Oh. Absolutely, yeah.
I've got a long-distance dedication.
Oh, good.
Going straight to her.
This is a really long-distance dedication.
Dear Jean, I'd like to be effing buried. Seems like I've been dead for a while. You've just left me in a fridge. Jean, you were a bitch as a wife. The one thing you could do is take care of me in death. So, if you could stop banging your new boyfriend for 5 minutes.
Uh-oh.
I'd appreciate it if you came over to the funeral parlor, picked up my body, and buried me the way I asked. If you don't, I'm gonna haunt you for the rest of your life.
Mm.
I can do it. And I will. So, Gene, do the right thing before I make your walls start leaking blood.
Yeah, you don't want that. No one wants that.
This song's going out to you, Gene Kasem. A special long-distance dedication, Dead Man's Party. What do you think, guys? You think she got it?
I hope so.
Yeah, I don't know. She left you there for a month. Maybe she's... I don't know. Good luck with that, I guess.
Tell you the truth, I'm kind of looking forward to haunting her.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Well, good luck with that, and I hope all things work out.
Hey, keep your feet on the ground.
Right.
And keep doing that other thing I said.
Right, sure.
Look at these big-time Hollywood stars who are up at the crack of dawn to come in here and promote their show. It's pretty impressive stuff, right?
Yes, and we look
Judy
fantastic.
Greer, you do, that's true. Judy, you're America's sweetheart. You don't need this. And Nat, as soon as you won your Academy Award, you should have said nothing before 10 a.m. You should have had new guidelines, son. Huh? What's up?
We're so desperate.
You guys need some career guidance. Right. Seriously, Judy Greer and Nat Faxon are here together because they are married, don't you know? And that's the name of their new show that is debuting tonight on the FX Network. So excited to see both of you guys. Welcome.
Thank you.
How are you feeling about married? It's always it's always scary when you put a new TV show on the air, especially these days. What's your gut telling you?
Big win. Big win.
No whammies. No, I'm excited. I don't know. If it's cable, does that mean we have a little longer leash? Maybe.
I would think.
You would
I think so.
Right?
I was told that that we did.
Okay, good.
Like that they would definitely air all the episodes. But
how many have you shot?
We shot 10 for the first season.
It's not much of a first season, by the way.
I know.
Yeah. 10.
No.
Should have been 11. I don't know what they did with that last episode. But yeah, so I feel pretty good about it. I mean, I feel like the show is awesome. I'm nervous because I've done this so many times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many TV shows have you been on, Ms. Jeter?
I think I've done like 11 or 12 pilots. And
I know you broke my heart when Misguided got canceled. Oh, I loved that show. And Nat, you broke my heart when Ben and Kate got canceled. So it's very, look, this is, we're viewers just like you.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to roll the dice on whether we want to invest in a show if it's not going to be around. And I hate it when I lose my stories, when my people go away.
My stories.
My dreams.
I got to watch my stories. I know. It's scary out there.
I've never had a second season of anything.
Me neither.
So
well, is that good, do you think?
No.
But Judy, you really have like Arrested Development. You were on more than one season, for instance.
I was, but not as a regular character.
Right.
But
So I know that you guys got the script and obviously liked it because you said yes, but I mean, is it daunting to try to put a new twist on a sitcom and B, a sitcom about married people?
Nat?
It is, yes. But that is why you go to cable, because then you can be a little riskier, a little edgier, a little darker, a little sadder. And I think a little more honest. You know, I think it's a less glossy version of what you would normally find on network TV. And so I think it is different in that sense. It is pulling no punches on this one.
Yeah.
And we saw the pilot, okay. And I was surprised at how dirty it was.
Yeah. Just wait.
Really?
Yeah.
It gets darker and sadder.
I know.
Wow.
And funnier, I think, too.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of dark and dirty, and I like that about it. I like that it felt like an independent movie and sort of like a fly on the wall. It was very voyeuristic.
You guys are very believable as husband and wife, by the way.
Mm. I know.
Of course, you're also actors, and I know that's what you do, is you make us believe your situation. But, I mean, a lot of times you tune into these shows and you go, there's no way those two people would ever be together. But you guys genuinely love each other, but have real-life problems like the rest of the world.
Yeah, that's one of the things I liked so much was the relationship between them, because they were really miserable and tired and sort of tired of each other, but still like really wanting to be together and still best friends. And that I felt was real.
Episode one, which airs tonight, you don't want to have sex with him.
No.
And he
would
does.
You? I mean,
no, I would not.
Look at
the acting required on Tootie's part was.
Is this too much?
No, it was just impressive.
Oh, I see.
It was impressive because the eye candy
really?
I am is so overwhelming.
So she says, why don't you get those needs met somewhere else? Now, that never happens. Does it?
Well, it doesn't. I don't know of it happening. I don't think people talk about it that much. I know that when I told all my girlfriends what the pilot episode was about, they were like, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
They would all be in favor of that in real life?
Yeah. One friend in particular was like, I'd be so fine with that.
Really?
I'd be so, yeah. Yeah.
What's her name, sir? Her husband?
She's in New Jersey.
Oh, all right. We may have to, Kevin, we may have to save that as a potential future Kevin and Bean phone topic. I wonder if that's an arrangement that's out there that anyone is actually trying and working with. Because a lot of people joke about it. Oh, if only I didn't have to have the sex, I'd have the best relationship ever with this person. But I wonder if it really would work.
I wonder. I mean, it's very different that it's not an people were like, oh, it's an open marriage. I'm like, no, it's not an open marriage. She literally doesn't want anyone touching her. She is letting her husband
right
do this.
Interesting.
But still, that's a step further than I think most women are willing to go.
Yeah.
You want to have sex with him so little that you're saying, go
yeah.
have it with someone else.
Yeah.
But be discreet.
I don't know. I mean, there's so much more to a marriage than just sex that maybe if that's the one thing you can kind of...
Farm out,
man.
I mean, maybe for a woman, but... No, I'm just kidding.
Now, Matt, while we're talking about the pilot of Married Tonight, you have a couple of things that go on. When Judy's character says no, you decide you're going to take the edge off. How awkward is that on set when all that flopping is going on underneath the covers?
It's super awkward.
Super awkward, right?
Because Judy is literally lying 1 foot from me.
So you're shaking the bed.
Yeah, and I'm shaking the bed. And she says that, and I was in the actual act of it. And it's just a weird kind of motion where you're, like, trying to make it believable, but then
not really doing it.
Oh, please. You were doing it.
I was totally doing it.
He can do it. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I know that there's nothing sexy and glamorous when you're actually filming these TV shows. I get that. I get that you're actors and that you're working and it's professional all, but there just must be times where you look around and go, how is this my job? What I'm doing rubbing under the sheet right now? How is this what I'm getting paid for?
I felt that sitting, like, laying next to him. Like, why am I here?
What's happening?
This guy is next to me. And like, oh, can I say that?
No.
Oops.
Actually, we've learned that we have to beep a lot of what comes out of Judy's mouth. We have a clip from the TV show Married that airs tonight at 10 o'clock on FX. Now, this is, you guys are having a heart-to-heart out at the picnic table in front of your house, or in the backyard of your house, talking about the situation that you have about the sex, and I think you'll get an idea of what the tone of Married is.
The girls, they take everything out of me. And it doesn't help that every time you look at me, I get pregnant.
That's not always my fault. The last one, I wore a condom.
Yeah, and you it off.
I didn't
it off.
No, I didn't.
You
like ate it.
Don't
and then
blame this on my
Well,
look, I'm trying to make everyone happy, and then at the end of the day, I have to make you happy too. It's just too much. Well, hit her back.
Yes, nice. Good parenting right there.
I like that.
It's even funnier without the beeps. You can see it tonight at 10 on FX. A quick break. More with our guests, Judy Greer and Nat Faxon are here. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Actor Nat Faxon, actress Judy Greer, they play husband and wife on a new show called Married, which debuts tonight on the FX channel at 10 o'clock. It's super, super funny. Before we get back to that, I want to ask, Nat, you're having quite the summer. You're in Tammy right now on the big screen, right?
Yes, that's true.
You got Sex Tape. You have a part in Sex Tape, that new Jason, is it Jason Segel and Cameron Diaz? Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
That's coming out. And Judy, you're an ape.
I'm an ape.
What a summer you guys are having.
I know. It's crazy.
I know.
How are you an ape exactly? I saw
Kevin,
that.
You saw the movie, but you don't remember Judy, right?
I don't.
I'm Cornelia.
She's like...
I'm Caesar's...
Smurfette.
Baby mama.
Okay.
That is so offensive.
Who knew?
Nat. Smurfette. It's Planet of the Apes. It's a franchise that has been around since 1968.
Oh, wow.
I know, but don't you have like a barrette in your hair to signify
there's
like this is the girl?
This
there's
is
a
the girl.
Flower garland, and there's nothing wrong with that.
It looked like candy corn to me. It did on your head. I was like, why is she wearing candy corn? Because nobody wants to eat it. That's why.
Because they're apes. They don't even know how delicious it is yet.
Was it tough to play an ape?
Yeah, it was hard, but my role, I don't have to do a lot of moving or jumping, so that made it better for me. Not being a Cirque du Soleil performer like all the other people playing.
Oh,
games.
Were they?
Oh, yeah, all of them were, yeah.
Wow.
And then Andy Serkis is so strong and so agile and, yeah.
But you did have to kind of, like, have those long arm extensions,
I had
right?
my
those,
quad arms, my quad arm arms. Extensions, which I do know how to run with, but I didn't have to do any of that.
Oh, you didn't?
Thank God.
Arm extensions. That
yeah,
sounds
they're
weird.
Like half crutches that you put on, and it, like, makes your arm really long, and
oh,
so you can
I see.
Walk on all fours and run and stuff.
What a bizarre gig that is.
It was weird, dude. It was really fun.
But that
though.
Movie, I'll tell you, I love that movie so much because it looks completely realistic, and they just ignored that fact and then told the story.
Yeah.
Rather than yeah. the Transformers, where they focused on all of the special effects and had no story.
Yeah.
This
I
was,
didn't
this
see
is
the Transformers
great.
Yet. Well, but
you're all right. Don't,
okay. don't rush
fine.
Out.
Yeah.
I was going to go after this,
it's all good.
But I feel like you're
yeah,
saying that
no,
too.
I'm
no?
saying,
okay,
waving
okay.
you off if you
okay,
don't mind.
Okay, got it.
Judy, I know how much you wanted to play an ape. I wanted to ask you, Nat, if there's any kind of role that you've always wanted to play and have not been able to, like to be a starship captain or something that you've always like dreamed of would be the cool acting gig.
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Yeah, I think a superhero would be pretty awesome.
Sure.
You know? I mean, why not?
Say that.
Well,
unless
I mean,
it's Aquaman, which is sort of lame.
Is it, though?
Yeah, it's lame. He can talk to fish.
What about Wonder Woman?
Seriously.
Yeah, but
yeah,
you
could be a great Wonder Woman.
I could
Woman.
Be a great Wonder Woman.
Yes, you could.
Or
guys,
he
that
could
would
be Wonder Woman.
Yeah. That would turn the franchise around.
It would.
You know?
I mean, or upside down, either way.
This is the perfect time in history, though, to put out the call that you want to be a superhero, because it seems like they're making a new superhero movie every week. So
yeah.
There's certainly a lot of work out there for superheroes.
I know. Although I think you're right. I would get the lame one, like the one that
no.
nobody...
You'd be
know,
Ant-Man or somebody?
Ant-Man. Yeah, what's why? That's just having a lot of trouble being made, isn't it? Nobody really wants
weird.
To commit to Ant-Man.
Yeah.
How about writing, Nat, since you are, as much as you're famous as an actor, you're famous as a screenwriter between The Descendants and the Way, Way Back. Are you working on something else right now?
Yes, I'm still writing with Jim Rash, my partner.
Your other partner?
Your
yes, my
partner.
Other my other life partner. My third life partner. Yeah, we're working on two scripts currently. One that we're going to do with Fox Searchlight again, and then one that we will probably do independently, sort of various sizes. One's in the vein of The Way, Way Back, and the other is sort of a larger, dark action comedy that about the black market organ trade.
Yay!
Oh, good.
Yay!
Nice. All right. Let's trade some organs.
But
did you start
your TV thing?
What's another
you're
TV thing?
You're developing TV
oh,
shows.
Oh, developing some TV shows.
Whatever.
Why not?
He just got a TV deal.
Whatever.
Like, no
why don't you back down a bit, dude? You're
yeah.
making us all look bad.
I know.
I'm writing a couple movies, TV deal on this one.
No big deal.
Are you able to write when you're shooting this show?
I make Jim do most of it.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, it's the best partnership because he's smarter and more
and funnier.
And so I just get in the way.
He could write this without you. He just doesn't know it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
No, he knows it.
He does know it.
He does know it. No, he just is too nice.
Okay. All right.
And I hang on to his coat too hard.
Did it change your life significantly winning an Academy Award? And by that I mean there's the thrill and the excitement leading up to the nomination and then the ceremony and then you win and oh my God, it's the greatest moment. But like 2 weeks after that, does your life pretty much go back to normal or does it change everything about being in Hollywood?
You know, I brought my Oscar everywhere I went for the first like,
I would
month
do that as
half.
Well.
You know,
wear
just
it around
to
my
remind
neck.
People.
Just a necklace, yeah.
Be like, yeah, in your face, buddy.
Oscar, tell it to the Oscar.
Yeah,
talk
I'll take that Oscar. Latte now, actually. No, your life does totally go back to normal. And nothing, you know, I think changes. Obviously, you garner more opportunities as far as work is concerned. And we really used that sort of currency, I guess, that we gained to shoot The Way, Way Back. So it enabled us to kind of go back to a script that we had loved. And
that was such a good movie, Nat.
Oh, thank you.
So good. It's one of those that I've seen 3 or 4 times, it's been airing all the time now. It's so sweet and so nice.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you very much.
But you still are in love with acting, too? You still like being in front of the camera, too?
I do. It's for me, it's a lot easier. It's like and more relaxing. I mean, it's really nice to show up on set and then like you just have your lines. And then at the end of the day, you get to go home instead of having to fix any of the problems that the script, has.
You have to go to a lot of meetings, too.
When you're writing?
And directing.
Yeah, you do. There's just a lot more work. And it's like an actor, it's so much better.
Do you ever come across a line and go, as a writer,
yeah,
I just like to give my input here.
Yeah. Again, I bring the trophy.
The
Oscar. Say, hey,
I wouldn't. This character wouldn't say it that way.
Yeah, let's talk about this real quickly. No, the writing look, on this show was really well done. So I didn't feel like I should get in the way of any of it.
We talked a little bit about the episode that airs tonight, the pilot on FX at 10 o'clock of Married. You guys made indications about a shower scene in episode 2. Please tell us more about that.
We attempt to take a shower together.
Is this you trying to spice things up?
No, I'm just in the shower.
Yeah, I'm guessing having seen this, seen the first episode, that it wasn't your idea.
It was not.
They're just trying to save water.
Well, there is a drought.
Sure.
I mean, we all know about that.
But your character doesn't care about that.
No, she doesn't care about the drought.
Yeah.
She'll save water in other ways.
It's a sex drought.
That's
what we're talking about.
He gets in the shower in our incredibly small shower with me, and I'm not having it.
Yeah, we shot in the smallest shower
in the valley, maybe even in California.
Yeah.
I mean, it could not have been smaller.
They definitely did not scout this house for the shower, which was one of those things that they just tried to make work. Because it was really, really small and really difficult to shoot in. But basically, yeah, I think my character is this fantasy about showering having sex in the shower,
right?
And remembers like an experience long ago where
back when you used to have sex,
yes. Where that happened, and I think he's trying to relive that, and he keeps getting
he needs to realign his dreams to the new reality.
Setting himself up to fail.
Yeah.
Were you comfortable standing around all day with your shirt off?
Yeah, have you seen me?
Yeah, of course.
You say that like when we're doing those scenes, we're just on set without clothes on, like all
Day long. I imagine there's quite a bit of time involved in shooting those scenes with different angles and coverage and everything like that.
Rogues.
Is not the problem. It's that weird, like nude colored, like bikini that put in. That just no matter how you slice it just looks weird.
I loved that.
It's so tight that it makes a man more look like a woman.
Sure.
Oh, great.
Now, are you in
Barbie man?
Are you in pasties, Judy? Is that what they got going on for you, or what?
Well, normally you would, but because I'm in the shower and the water is coming down, I didn't wear anything. Sometimes when they tape things, garments to you to like be more conscientious of your nudity, it's actually weirder and makes you look stranger, and it's like draws more attention to that stuff, I find.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So I didn't wear pasties. I think I had on like my version of Nat's nude bikini bottom.
We did look like Barbie dolls.
We look like weird Barbie dolls, though. Like, definitely not Ken and Barbie, but like they're
like
cousins.
A screwed up Ken and Barbie.
Yeah.
Well, I am going to hold you to what you said when you sat down, Miss Greer, and that is that all 10 episodes are going to air.
Yeah, so. Yes. You heard it here.
Okay, God, can't wait. Right about that. Debuts tonight at FX on 10. It is very, very funny and very different from any of the other shows that you've seen this summer on TV. Nat Fax and Judy Greer, the show is called Married. So great to see you guys. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you guys so much for having us.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
Hi, Miss Judy Greer.
She just left like 5 minutes
when she
ago.
Was in here. Remember how awesome it was when Judy Greer was here?
I do.
What did you wear in the shower scene, Judy? They put you in pasties?
We were talking about it. Come on, that was a legitimate line of questioning.
Are you naked all the time when you're shooting those?
Was it like that? It wasn't creepy at all. Hey, Mark Foster from Foster the People joins us coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He has been involved in a mini controversy downtown, which seems to have been settled. Dr. Drew next hour as well. And Meta World Peace, former Nick, former Laker, former Piston, joins us in studio in the 9 o'clock hour. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Oh, just the world's upside down. That's all, man.
Why?
Oh, who knows? Who knows what's going on anymore? Thor's a woman now, and then they tell us last night Captain America's no more. Steve Rogers isn't Captain America anymore.
Right.
Sam Wilson's going to step in.
But that seems irrelevant to me. So a different person's going to play him.
Steve Rogers, man.
All right.
You don't know.
I don't care. Should I care?
It's a big deal. Falcon taking over for Cap. Now, we have to remember, Bucky Barnes was Cap for a while, too.
Well, sure.
John Walker, of course, was Captain America for a while.
Right. See? So there's a long history.
There is a history of someone else slinging the shield, as we say. But on the wake of the Thor news, it's just like they're just rocking our worlds, man. Doesn't your world feel rocked?
Not really. Not by this.
It was on Colbert last night, the Colbert Report. And it's interesting how they're rolling this stuff out. They did the Thor announcement on The View.
A strange place to make that announcement.
But not if Thor is going to be a woman.
Yeah,
they knew they would be met with cheers.
It is a woman-centric television program. And for Colbert Report, it's interesting because he was awarded Cap's shield. You know, if you ever see his set, Captain America's shield has been on a set for years.
Oh.
Because when Captain America in a storyline was killed years ago, they presented Stephen Colbert with the shield because he was the new representation of all things American.
I like it.
So they thought it'd be appropriate to announce the new Captain America on the Colbert Show last night.
Don't break my heart here. Am I the next Captain America? No, Steve. All right, Joe, if I'm not the next Captain America, who is?
Sam Wilson, his partner, the Falcon, is becoming the new Captain America.
The Falcon?
The Falcon.
Well, if there is one bird associated with America, it is the Falcon.
It's right there in our money.
But I, look, this is not my area, Ralph. I'm still confused how one guy can just become, I mean, can Jimmy Olsen just become Superman? I mean, what's going on in the world today?
If you put the costume on and you grab the shield,
then you're Captain America.
Then you're so anyone can be Captain America.
If you pick, anyone, but if you put on the costume and the shield, you'd be killed in 5 minutes.
Right.
But I'd still be Captain America for that 5 minutes, right?
Batroc the Leaper.
Sure.
Or Red Skull or somebody would just take you out. So, yeah, I guess anyone could be, but you have to be worthy of it. You have to be able to perform the duties of Captain America in order to take over Captain America.
But Falcon was his sidekick, wasn't he?
For many years.
So doesn't he know Captain America inside and out?
Yeah, he's learned how to be Cap probably better than anyone.
All right.
And Bucky Barnes, who also took over for a short time, he was also Cap's sidekick for a while. He was the Winter Soldier, of course.
Sure.
So I'm just saying, you know, you could be Captain America.
Good luck to Falcon.
Sam Wilson can be.
All right.
Congratulations, Sam. We should get Sam on the show to talk about it.
Talk about being Captain America?
Yeah. Cameron Diaz has told interviewers, anyone who will listen really, that she's had relations with ladies.
Right.
So someone asked her if she'd ever had relations with her close friend Drew Barrymore. Cameron said, the idea of having sex with Drew Barrymore is like having sex with her sister, and it made her want to vomit in her mouth. Which is funny because the idea of having sex with Cameron Diaz also makes me want to vomit in my mouth. So those rumors are being put to rest. No sexy activity between Cameron Diaz and Drew Barrymore. I think we all feel that way. Casting news. Christian Bale may have a new franchise to take over, the star of the Batman films.
is now in talks to star as Detective Travis McGee. You guys familiar with the John McDonald books about Travis McGee?
Of course.
Mm-mm. No.
Long-running detective series. There were some TV movies, I think, made based on this book series. Sam Elliott. You know Sam Elliott, the guy with the big mustache?
Yeah.
Who played the cowboy in Big Lebowski and stuff?
Right.
He played the character for a while. His books have been around for a long time. Really good book series. 21 different books in the series. So if Christian Bale takes on the role, looks like he could be in it for a while.
21 books.
Yeah, they would start with the first one, The Deep Blue Goodbye. Sort of classic detective novels. Really good, well-written. I think Christian Bale would be good in the role. So maybe we have a new franchise with Christian Bale.
Oh, good for you.
Good for you, Christian. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, July the 17th. Donald Sutherland. Talented actor. He's been around forever. Also, of course, the dad of Kiefer. 79 years old today. Black Sabbath bassist Geezer Butler is 65. Mark Burnett's 54. Alex Winter, half of Bill and Ted in their excellent adventure. He's 49. Jason Clarke, who you can see currently in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes as Malcolm, he's 45. Kerry Hart's 39 years old. And David Hasselhoff, 62 years old. I wonder how David Hasselhoff celebrates his birthday.
This is a mess.
Yeah, he's got his face in the cake.
Yep.
He rubs the cake all over his naked chest, sitting there on the floor in an empty apartment. So someone films it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock. And by the way, next Thursday, we are going to be live in the whale's vagina. We're going to be broadcasting live from Comic-Con at the Hard Rock Hotel next Thursday and Friday. So if you're going down for Comic-Con, definitely swing on by and say hi to the Kevin Bean Show as we do the program live. We're also giving away some passes for San Diego's Comic-Con, which is sold out July 24th through the 27th at Convention Center. We're looking for you right now if you'd like to earn your way in. Now, if you've been listening this week, Ralph is making it tough. He wants you to be a Comic-Con person, right?
Yeah, you got to know your stuff, of course.
You got to know your stuff. Can't be a poser. Can't be like Ralph just going down there on the coattails of Kevin and Bean after all the years we've been doing Comic-Con.
Sure.
So if you know your stuff, you know your superheroes, you've got a background that'll equip you for the questions that are going to be fired at you, 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to win your way into a sold-out Comic-Con and play a game for us in just a few minutes.
We were scheduled to talk to Mark Foster from Foster the People here. We're having trouble getting a hold of him, but the story is still a weird local story. I'm not sure all of you have heard about it, but this mural that's going on downtown that they've had up since January, apparently they thought was going to be there forever, or at least for a long time, and then it was supposed to be painted over. Then the LA Times did a story on it, and then the fans rallied, and then they got, you know, it's got spared. Who knows where it's at right now?
I love this, by the way, because this to me is a win for art. I mean, I know we have some news tape from what happened Monday at downtown LA when basically the Foster People fans and other fans who are just, you know, of public art rallied and said, hey, why are you painting over this gorgeous work that's on the side of this building just to make it blank again? Isn't the neighborhood better off by having this up there? Listen to this news report.
Fans posed for pictures with members of the band Foster the People, who showed up in downtown LA to thank them for saving this mural.
This is kind of our expression of love for the city, trying to beautify downtown.
Time-lapse video shows the mural being painted on the side of a building on Los Angeles Street in January, but they got notice it was scheduled to be painted over today.
And the fact that we thought we may lose it was a bit devastating.
NBC4 has learned the building's owner decided to paint over it when he discovered the proper permits were never obtained. And the mural may violate a city ordinance because it depicts the band's latest album cover. And murals which contain advertising are not allowed.
I would say that it would be advertising if it was like, buy album now, out now, you know, pre-order. But it's really just... it's just the album cover.
Foster told me in a Twitter direct message, quote, to be honest, when I wrote the letter to our fans, it was really just to inform them so they could say goodbye. Instead, fans started an online petition asking LA Mayor Eric Garcetti to save the mural, and they bombarded his Instagram account. Garcetti took notice and last night convinced the building's owner to hold off painting over the mural while they worked to bring it under compliance.
That's awesome news, by the way. This mural is one of the largest murals in the United States. It's 125 by 150 foot. And I think it's important that it's not like it's an – look, I drive by – listen to this, Kevin. I drive by a billboard that has been up for about 10 years now of a haunted house.
What?
A Halloween haunted house. This billboard went up 10 years ago, and it's still up. That's an eyesore because that's something that's just out of date. This is just the album cover with no words on it. It's just a beautiful artwork. And why not leave it up on the building? I mean, how does it hurt anybody by being up there?
As far as I understood, they got the right permits as they understood them. And now they're saying that they didn't. So I don't know exactly what's going on. But apparently Eric Garcetti talked the owner into saving it for a while so they can figure out what they're going to do with it.
Well done, Mr. Mayor. Well done. That was totally the right call. I'm sorry we weren't didn't have the opportunity to get Mark Foster on the phone to talk about this, but I know that he is very grateful to the Foster the People fans who kind of stepped forward and got this petition going to make this happen, because I think it makes the city a much more beautiful place for it. All right, a quick break, then you win your way into the San Diego Comic-Con. You'll get a chance to play for those tickets next here on K-Rock. Let's give away some one-day passes to next week's San Diego Comic-Con. Woo! Hit it, Steve. Have to throw nerds in
pipe
there.
Down, Omar.
What we got all the contestants on the line. They have been pre-qualified. Ralph, what are they going to need to know? What's your category? What's your topic today?
Today's comic contest is as fresh as the headlines.
All right.
All of this brouhaha this week about people taking over for superheroes. They got a woman now who's going to pick up Mjolnir.
Sure.
Thor's hammer and become the new Thor. They announced last night on the Colbert Report that Sam Wilson, a.k.a. the Falcon, will now be Captain America. So I thought what we'd do with today's contest, this is going to be a little bit tough one. This is going to separate the men from the boys.
All right. You got to know your stuff.
You have to know your stuff. I'm going to give you a person who substituted for another superhero. And you have to tell me what superhero identity they took over for a short time.
So you're going to say the name of a person, and then the caller has to give us the superhero.
Exactly. Because
okay.
In many of these storylines, a superhero will, for some reason or another, not be able to perform his duties, and someone else will step in and take over and be that superhero for a short period of time before either going back to their own hero identity or disappearing into obscurity or becoming a villain or something like that.
Sounds a little more difficult than
usual. For some significant portion of time, this person stepped in for the actual superhero. For example, Steve Rogers, right, is Captain America.
Right.
With Steve Rogers stepping down, Sam Wilson's going to take over and be Captain America for a while. That's what happened here. These people took over for a significant superhero either in the Marvel or DC universe.
All right. Are we doing a drawing or sudden death? You win, you're in. What
We're
do you want to do?
Doing a drawing.
Okay.
Right. Two people will win.
We have Brian in Long Beach. Hi there.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Brian, you know your superheroes?
I like to think I do.
All right. I'm going to give you the name of someone who took over for a major superhero. You tell me what superhero they took over for. The alien Beta Ray Bill was this superhero for a while.
Thor.
Well,
look
wow.
at that.
You go, Brian.
Wow.
You're in the drawing. Hold on.
Shocking.
Is Thor also an alien, Ralph?
No.
No, he Thor comes from the planet Asgard. Of Asgard. What's wrong with you?
Well, if he comes from another planet, then he's an alien.
Then yes.
Okay.
he's a god. He's a Norse god from Asgard. It's like their heaven. It's like another dimension.
His planet is Asgard. That's what we're missing here.
Guard his ass.
That's right. Let's go to Burbank and say hi to Robert.
Robert?
Hello.
I'm going to give you the name. You tell me what superhero they subbed for, okay? These are substitute superheroes today. Ben Reilly.
Take a stab at Green Lantern?
No, good guess, but it was Spider-Man. He took over for Peter Parker as Spider-Man for a while.
How about
he was actually
that?
Peter Parker's clone.
No.
Yeah.
Who knew?
All right, we got a Brian, a Robert. That's two guys so far. Let's go to one of the ladies on the
Stop
line.
Stop it.
Can we, Kevin?
Stop with your mocking behavior.
Pick any of the girls that are calling in.
Girls, but we do have Edwin in Montebello.
Oh, Edwin. Okay.
Hi there.
Hi.
Edwin? Danny Rand is best known as the superhero of the Iron Fist. But he also substituted for this superhero for a while. Danny Rand.
Iron Man?
No, sir. Daredevil. I'm sorry. But thanks for playing our game.
Sorry. Kevin, was that confusing for you when you were also known as the Iron Fist
yes,
back
was,
in college?
As a matter of fact, thank you.
Let's go to Craig in San Pedro.
Hey, what's up, bro?
Hey, Craig. Here's your sub-superhero. James Buchanan Barnes stepped in for this hero for a while.
Captain America.
Nice. Well
Look
done, sir.
Word.
Word. That Captain America is just a revolving door. Yeah,
there's a lot of people
who can be Captain America.
Cap. John Walker was also Cap. There's been a lot of people who were Cap, yeah.
Let's go to Carlos at Anaheim. Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Carlos. Here's your substitute superhero, Jean-Paul Valley. Jean-Paul Valley was this superhero for a while.
Oh, man. That must be D.C.
It is D.C. It is D.C., sir. Yeah. I'll give you a clue.
Batman?
Batman is correct.
Yes!
Dab in the dark. You got
well
it right.
Done.
Then, of course, it became Azrael. We all know that after that, after the fact.
Yeah.
That's right, three. I'm surprised. These guys are good.
I am, too.
These
very impressive.
These are my people
let's
right here.
Let's go to a girl now from Chatsworth.
Hello.
This is George?
Yeah.
Hi.
All right, George, here's your substitute superhero. James Rhodey Rhodes became this superhero for a while.
Iron Man?
Iron Man. Well done.
Your peeps are coming out today, Ralph.
They are. They're for real.
Let's go to Frank in Anaheim.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Frank. This guy got his start as a substitute superhero, Guy Gardner. Guy Gardner subbed as this superhero before becoming a hero in his own right.
Oh, man. Green Lantern?
Green Lantern! Wow.
What a stab in the dark.
Well done. Hold on, you're in the running.
These people are smarter than even they know.
They have it deep in the recesses of their minds.
Last one is Adolfo from La Habra.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Adolfo. This guy took over for a superhero for a while before he became his own hero. John Henry Irons.
Steel. Superman.
Superman. Well
Look
done,
at that.
Sir.
Look at that.
Boom.
I am blown away by these contestants today.
These people are real.
Brian, Craig, Carlos, George, Frank, Adolfo, everyone's in the running. Only two can win. One day passes to the sold-out San Diego Comic-Con next July 24th through the 27th. That's next week at the San Diego Convention Center. Beer Mug, who are our winners, please?
Brian and Craig.
Congratulations. We'll see you next weekend. Thanks for playing the game. The artist formerly known as Ron Artest, Meta World Peace, joins us in studio next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. Very excited about that. Don't forget Weird Al Yankovic tomorrow, Weezer Monday here on the Kevin Bean Show. While we're talking about great musical artists, this is Connor Oberst. Do you know him, Kevin? You familiar with his work?
Yeah.
Very talented singer-songwriter, records under his own name. He's got a real good record out right now. He also works as Bright Eyes. He's in the band Desaparecidos, which I can never say. He's in the Monsters of Folk. Well, he's in the news right now also because a woman claimed on a website that he raped her. And can you imagine how that turns a guy's life upside down when it's not false at all? There's no indication that he even knows this woman.
It's not true at all, you mean.
Well, it's not true at all, right. No indication he even met this woman. And she claims that he raped her. And he's had to go through that. And it is in the news because she is now recanted. And we'll talk some more about the story and also find out more about it from a psychological standpoint with our good friend Dr. Drew from HLN and KROQ's own Loveline. Hi, Doc.
Hey, good morning.
It is. This has been a firestorm of controversy, this entire story that we've described with Connor Oberst, partly because there's a lot of discrepancy over how much people believe false rapes are reported.
Well, yeah, no, it's really like crying fire in a crowded movie theater. I mean, there are limits to what people can express without harming other people.
Right.
And this is one of those things. I mean, this can turn someone's life upside down. It's similar to when say, someone accuses a teacher of misconduct with kids, and they lose their career. I mean, I think of it on a loved one line sometimes when people call with a prank call, but it's a terribly serious condition or problem they're talking about. You have to take it seriously.
Yeah.
You can't say, oh, I don't know about that. I'm not sure whether that makes sense to me. You have to assume that somebody that claims that kind of victimization is telling the truth until proven otherwise.
So we should give women the benefit of the doubt when they cry rape because 99% of the time, 95% of the time, some high level of percentage, it's true, right?
Yeah, it's very unlikely that someone's going to claim, going to lie to that degree. I mean, it takes quite a bit of callousness. You're either in such desperate straits in terms of your depression, or it's not as though there's some specific characterological construct that says, oh, there's somebody that's likely to do this. But it is somebody who is either so desperate in such pain or who just doesn't care. It's one or the other, and neither are good or okay. The ones that are dangerous are, of course, the ones that don't care and aren't likely to recant and are likely to sort of believe their own lies sometimes.
But what I think the damage that's done is the people who come out today and, you know, have an actual claim are less believable.
Well, once again, it's so similar to the issues with teachers, which is, hey, be careful, don't believe those kids, it might ruin someone's career. It's like, well, then you diminish people from coming forward, and then you don't take these things seriously that do happen. So not only is somebody who's lying like that hurting the victim, they're also hurting people who are being, I'm sorry, I beg your pardon, not only is he hurting the victimizer or the accused victimizer, but they're also hurting potential victims who might think twice or might not be treated with the same degree of seriousness because these liars have questioned the veracity of what people are saying when they claim something like this.
This accuser's name, Joan Faircloth, has sent a notarized statement to Conor Oberst's lawyer saying, "The statements I made and repeated online and elsewhere over the past 6 months accusing Conor Oberst of rape are 100% false. I made up those lies about him to get attention while I was going through a difficult period in my life and trying to cope with my son's illness." And what universe does being inserting yourself into a firestorm like this make your life better, doctor?
And not only that, in what world is that? Is that any sort of explanation or excuse?
Right.
Again, people, when they are really struggling, do extreme things. I mean, they steal, they do drugs. This is just another one of those extraordinary things that someone may do, not really understanding the consequences of it in that moment or not being able to think things through. That's why cognitive behavioral therapy works. You know, we get people to think things through, and they think, "Oh, yeah, well, maybe my way I was thinking about this is not so right." And in the, let's call it a stupor of sorts of someone's emotional condition or a fog of a certain emotional condition, think how dark young adolescents get sometimes, the kind of screwy, stupid decisions they make. Well, these days, a lot of people aren't growing up and make similar decisions as adults.
That's true. And you talk about so many people who lie on your TV show, on your HLN show. There are so many circumstances where people lie and they refuse to come clean. They just stick to that lie and they just continue to inflate it and make it bigger. I mean, this woman even went on to then suggest that he had tried to shut her up by attorneys contacting her and offering hush money. She was building an elaborate fantasy about this event that never happened.
Yeah, and often this stuff is motivated by shame. And so the shame of having to come clean only amplifies the shame they're already feeling. I'm just thinking of that other case that we covered, the Jada case, you know, that people are now saying they're identifying with her, the I am Jada, this kid that was raped, got drunk, was raped. The victims took pictures of her, the victimizers, rather, the perpetrators, and then spread it on social media, and she had not even known she'd been raped until they put the pictures out on social media.
Wow.
And now, because some time has gone by, people are questioning the veracity of her complaint. So here's someone who is a victim now being sort of disdained further in social media. So, you know, now we have two ways that people can get raped. They can physically get raped, and now a mob action on social media can rape you again. It's good times.
All right. You talk about, in our remaining moments here, Dr. Drew, you talk about a lot of law and order issues on your TV show. What should happen to this woman who made these fake claims?
I'm not an expert in the law by any means, but it's very similar to, I think about the phenomenon of somebody yelling fire in a crowded theater and somebody gets hurt as people stampede out
Which,
the door.
By the way, is illegal, right?
It's illegal. That's not your free, you don't have the freedom to do that.
Right.
You can't harm other people with your speech. Unfortunately, again, I brought this other case, the Jada case, where people are now disdaining her in social media. There's not enough hours in the world to go after all the people that hurt in social media these days. It's a reminder that things we say, I mean, obviously this is an extreme lie, but we can harm other people with our language, with what we say, and it can disrupt lives, it can end careers, it could cost people lots of money, it could break up families, and I think this woman ought to be punished severely. It's not like a murder, but I think she ought to have more than community service.
And I'll also say that especially in celebrity cases, I think the public at large is far more likely to hear about the accused crime than they are to hear about an acquittal in a trial or something like this where something is recanted. I bet a lot more people will believe that the rape charge rather than hear about that it didn't happen.
Actually right. And it seems to me that the system is sort of clement on the people that accuse celebrities, too, because – they go, "Well, you're a public figure. You just got to come to expect some of this." And I think we've gotten to it. Again, that's why I brought up that Jada case. The mentality of the mob has really caught on with social media, and we have to push back a little bit. People have to think about
stuff.
The consequence of what they do.
Hey, I'm going to check out the podcast, but how was the Iron Sheik last night?
Everything we'd hoped for. Mike was giddy. I don't think Mike slept all night last night.
Oh, sure.
Night.
He's Mike's all-time number one celebrity hero crush ever, right?
Well, when the Iron Sheik on Twitter told Mike he had raisin balls, I've never seen him happier.
You can listen to Love Line with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood on K-Rock Sunday through Thursday nights at 10. And don't miss Dr. Drew and his harem of ladies on call on HLN Monday through Friday nights at 6. And the fine family of Dr. Drew podcasts at drdrew.com and podcast1.com. Doc, thanks so much for the time, sir.
You betcha.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat with our friend Ralph Garman, who joins us in studio right now.
Before I beat you with Showbiz, how about some tickets? I have got passes to the red carpet world premiere of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yay!
Oh, I'm like the comic book Santa Claus today.
This looks great.
Even like Comic-Con tickets and Guardians of the Galaxy premiere tickets. This does look great. It probably isn't the world premiere because I think they just had a... Maybe it's just a press event they had in London earlier this week. Maybe it is the world premiere. But they did a press event, I know that much, in London. And they also showed some very, very early footage of Age of Ultron, the new Avengers film as well.
Ah.
So the people who got were in attendance for that got a little glimpse into what's happening with that film as well. I'm hoping maybe that'll happen at Comic-Con next week. They'll be showing a little early
snippets.
Footage from the Avengers too. But Guardians of the Galaxy looks just awesome. Chris Pratt stars. The voices of Vin Diesel and Bradley Cooper are also in this film. Zoe Saldana. Just a terrific cast. If you'd like to go, why wouldn't you? This is going to be quite the event. It happens on Monday, July the 21st at the Chinese Theater. I've got five pairs of tickets to give away right now. 1-800-520-1067. If you're one of the first five callers to get through, you will get a pair of passes to see Guardians of the Galaxy at their premiere, July the 21st. And, by the way, the Guardians of the Galaxy film is in theaters everywhere August the 1st. If you were not there, you'll be able to see it in August. That's when I'll be going, probably, because they don't let me go to anything. All right, let's talk about show business news. Here's some more reasons the Kardashian clan should stop it, should just leave the gene pool alone. They're horrible drivers. They always have problems with their driving.
It does seem to be the case, yeah.
The youngers are no different. Kylie Jenner, 16 years old, was popped by the California Highway Patrol last Monday because she was driving with her girlfriend. Here's the thing. You can't do that in the state of California.
What do you mean?
Because she's 16? New drivers aren't allowed to have fellow teens as passengers unless there's an adult over 25 in the vehicle as well. You need sort of a more experienced driver also in the vehicle. You just can't.
That's
go
a
out.
Reasonable regulation.
I think so. Until they get a couple of years under their belts, they probably.
And by the way, isn't
be
she
out
the
there.
One who wrecked a car within a few weeks of getting her driver's
well,
license? Remember,
Bean, you're so picky. If you insist, yes, she did crash her SUV 18 days after she got her license. And she was cited for speeding last January, and she also got a ticket for her tinted windows being too dark. So she's an excellent driver, except for all those things.
Hmm.
She's from the Kevin Ryder School of Excellent Drivers.
How dare you, sir?
She's going to get a letter from the state soon saying,
I am a good
you
driver.
Are one of... Did the state of California send you a letter saying you're one of the worst drivers in the state?
It was a mistake. They took it back.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they sent me an apology.
Did they send
you
that? That's funny you didn't mention getting an apology letter.
I didn't want to make a big deal out of it.
Oh, you're a sport. You're the worst.
How dare you?
Christian Bale may be reportedly starring in a new movie franchise based on the John McDonald books with Detective Travis McGee as the star. Fox is looking to start up a franchise based on these books, and Christian Bale's in talks to star as the detective. I think he'd be awesome, by the way. 21 books in the series, so it could be quite the franchise for Bale if he decides to sign on.
He'll be busy till he dies with that role.
That's right, yes. And Weird Al Yankovic is releasing a video a day for the next 8 days, all based on tracks from his new album, Mandatory Fun. He'll be on the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow, but he'll also be on Conan O'Brien tonight if you want to check it out. Al and the band will be performing a song from their new album. I don't know if you saw the new video today.
I did not.
Today, Handy.
Handy.
Handy is the new video today. Very entertaining. Shows that Al is sort of a fix-it guy. Handy, of course, based on the Iggy Azalea song, Fancy. It's a parody of that song.
Right.
And it's very funny, so you should check it out.
Any cameos like yesterday's video, Ralph?
I haven't had a chance to see the whole thing yet. I just saw it from the very beginning, but it's very entertaining. That was as entertaining as watching Kevin and Beermug yell at each other silently just by moving their mouths. Yeah, it's my bad. I should have asked for that song earlier. I thought maybe we'd still have that over there someplace.
Well, we have it, and he just said, I don't know which one it is. And I said, well, listen to it.
But then I can't listen to the show if I do
That's
that.
Never stopped you before.
Well, I'm trying to change.
Yeah, don't change, Beermug. You're perfect just the way you are.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Donald Sutherland is 79 years old today. Geezer Butler, bassist for Black Sabbath, is 65.
Sure growing into his name.
Yes, he is. David Hasselhoff, 62. Mark Burnett, legendary TV producer, is 54. Alex Winter. You remember him from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure? He's 49. I think he's still hoping for a sequel, another sequel to that franchise. Jason Clarke, so good as Malcolm, currently in theaters in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. He's 45 years old today. Carrie Hart is 39. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
What a life our next guest is living. 14 years in the NBA, including four glorious ones with the Los Angeles Lakers, where he was part of a championship team. Meta World Peace joins us in studio here.
Yes, Kevin.
Welcome back, sir. How you been?
Really, really good. It's great to be on the show again.
Five years ago I was here. Yep. Has it been that long?
The last time we saw you, you were still in a Lakers jersey, your entire uniform, the day after you won the championship.
Yeah, that was weird. That was weird, smelly.
Yep, a little bit.
Yeah.
But you were
so happy.
If there's
one night of the year you're allowed to go out and just enjoy yourself, that's the night, right?
That is the night. That is the night. I wish I could win a championship every day. I'll party every day.
Seriously. You've got so much going on right now, so many things we want to talk to you about. But let me start with this. Are you done with basketball?
No, I'm not done. It's weird because when I tell people on Twitter, I announce I'm doing something, they think I retired.
Right.
Like if I say I'm coaching girls, they say, oh, Meta's retired.
Yeah.
Or if I'm doing a comedy show, Meta's retired. No, I'm still here. I'm still trying to play.
You're a free agent right now, right?
I'm a free agent right now. So I'm waiting to see what team I can go to.
How old are you, Meta?
I'll be 35 on November 13th.
And how do you feel? I mean, you feel you've got a lot to contribute to a team?
Yeah, I think so. I feel great. I had a good year last year, with the exception of the bench. I sat on the bench a lot, but other than that, I felt great. And
was it sad playing for the Knicks?
It was weird because it was just that we were losing, and I didn't get a chance to help. So I was on the bench, and I couldn't really control anything. And that was frustrating, not being able to be on the floor, you know, and then not even making the playoffs. You know?
Is it a difficult situation to be a free agent and not have a team? I mean, are you
at this point? Yeah, because now they're looking at younger guys.
Oh, they are.
So now they're trying to see, and they predetermine that, you know, older guys can't play anymore. And you see guys like Tim Duncan, who proves these guys wrong.
Right.
You know, and then even Derek Fisher played for a little bit, but Tim Duncan's doing a great job.
Yeah,
he's playing well.
Yeah.
So Top of his game.
Yeah, on paper, there's no way the Spurs continue to be as great as they are with as many old guys
as
they have.
But
in real life, it sure works. Well, I hope
they're probably going to go to the finals again.
Yeah, right.
And I hope that you find a team because people enjoy playing with you. I mean, you bring a lot of experience, you know, to a club.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. But you know what? Right now, I'm in a situation where my level is a level where. You know, it's like the minimum level where you get paid in the NBA. And on that level, the options are bigger now because now I can even go overseas. China pays well, then you don't have to pay tax and things like that. So I can play in the NBA. I can play overseas, Russia, Turkey, Istanbul, or I can go play in the NBA. So
that's
it's
a
pretty
lot of
cool.
options.
Yeah, there's a lot of options. It's pretty cool. They pay well.
Would you go play in China?
I would definitely play.
Would you?
It's only a four-month season. I go in October, and I'm back in February.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't have to be playing.
That'd be cool.
It'd be amazing.
Now, you're going to get a call. Now that you've said that, you put it out there. You're going to get a call from North Korea. I'm going to urge you not to go there.
As long as that guy's not coaching. What's the guy?
Yeah, you don't want that.
Kim Jong-un,
I think, is the man. He's the bad man.
He probably want to be on the team and play point guard.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah, and score all the points.
Yeah.
All right, well, here's the thing about Meta World Peace in studio here in the Kevin and Beachoy K-Rock, is you are not a guy who is going to be, whenever your playing days are over, you're not a guy who's going to be lacking for other things to do because you have an incredible amount of other interests. You got your fingers all over the place doing so many different – how many jobs do you have right now?
I know. At least, like, I'm like a Jamaican mixed with Mexican. I have 10 jobs.
10 jobs.
Yeah.
You're a rapper?
Well, I guess so. That's what they
you
say.
You seem embarrassed to call yourself a rapper.
I am embarrassed.
All right.
I am embarrassed. Because
but you do that because you love it, right?
I do it because I love it. And every now, like before when I was rapping, I would say words that made no sense that were not true. You know?
Now, why would you do that?
I don't know. Just like
just for
something comes to your head and you feel like you're Lil Wayne and you're really not.
Yeah.
So now I'm being more meta when I rap.
All right. Okay. You also were working for who last night on the red carpet at the ESPYs?
Oh, yeah. I was working last night. It was hot. I was working for CourtsideAccess.com.
Mm-hmm. And
you
now
see
is
my
this,
interviews on there.
Is this you doing interviews of the people who are showing up at the at the ESPYs?
I was
so who'd you talk to?
I talked to Kevin Durant, which was cool.
Nice.
He gave me an interview. And then I talked to the Spurs, which is cool. I talked to the team. What's the college team when the kid was doing the nay-nay? The real famous team, and then I think they won a – and then the
UConn? No.
No, it was when the white kid, the little point guard, was doing the nay-nay, and he, like, and he went viral.
I don't remember
I interviewed that team, and then –
What a bizarre gig that is for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. It, it was fun, and – at first, I thought I was going to be kind of snobbish. I thought I was too good to do it.
Yeah.
That whole morning, I'm like, no, I can't do this. I can't go on the red carpet and interview people. I'm too good for that. I swear I was thinking that.
Right.
When I got there, I had a great time.
Did you?
I had a great time. Yeah.
Did you find it difficult to do the interviews? Because I think it's a lot. It's a totally different experience on the other side of the microphone.
It is. And you know what I was worried about? I was more worried about people assuming that my career is over and assuming that, you know, I'm, like, trying to get a job. It was, like, embarrassing a little bit
right
at first. You know, I was a little bit insecure about doing it. But
I can see that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
And then when I got there, you know, I felt more secure. Yeah,
but TV and radio are filled with former athletes
right
who are broadcast professionals. Now, there's no shame in that.
I know. I just felt insecure.
But he's not former yet.
Yeah, I'm still playing. And
that's your fear?
Yeah.
Is that people will think you're a former athlete?
Think I'm former, you know, not as relevant. And then I'm on a carpet because I like to be out in the public. So, I feel I love the publicity and all that stuff.
All right.
So
now, you mentioned this is the voice of a Meta World piece here on the Kevin Bean Show. We'll talk some more about his show coming up tomorrow night at the Improv in a minute. You mentioned that you have taken a coaching job at a high school. Now, that's the most curious thing of all the things you've got going on right now. Please explain that to me, Meta.
This summer, I dedicated my summer to working out. So I'm working. I'm in great shape. But I also was coaching kids. So I did a basketball camp. I'm coaching on the weekends. I'm coaching high school kids. I'm training high school and college kids, actually also, and I'm coaching girls basketball. So how that would work is I'm coaching assistant coach at Pally High School for the girls varsity team. And how that works is if I go to China, I will still have the job. When I come, if I come back in February, I will still coach. If I was to play for the Lakers, I will still have the title. I would show up to some games and consult a little bit, but I wouldn't be able to, you know,
that's
be
not
there
much
as
of a
much
coach. I have to be honest. You're
not
much
of a coach.
But you go to China for the season.
I know, right? I just left for the whole season.
Yeah.
But I've been training the girls. We wake up at 7 in the morning some days, and we go over to UCLA or go somewhere, and we train, and I work them out.
Do they have the same mindset that you as an NBA player have?
The girls work hard.
Do they?
I did a couple drills with the girls, and I mean, I had their legs on fire.
I'll bet.
It was great.
Do they? Is it a distraction having somebody as well-known as you there as their coach? I mean, do you get bothered a lot from people who see you there?
Well, it could be, but when – yeah. So when I'm going, if I was to go to a game and the other team might want pitches, right?
Right, that's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. But when I'm practicing with my team, you know – they forget I'm Meta World Peace quick when they start running.
Yeah, sure.
They just know you as a coach.
Yeah.
Like, mean man that's making us run.
Right. I always wonder, I always feel bad for especially basketball players and football players who are, you know, big or tall. You can't just blend in, man. It's real hard for you to be on the down low, like going through an airport or something like that, isn't it?
It's no blending in. You know what's the worst when somebody see, hey, you're tall, you play basketball?
Nice.
I always say, no, I'm a lawyer.
Do you get the, I know you from somewhere, where is it? And then they force you to go through your
whole
resume?
I hate that.
Nope, don't know
me
from there.
If you know me, just say my name so we can get this over with.
Better World Peace is here. We got to take a quick break. A fascinating summer that the man is having. And we'll talk about the thing that's happening at the Improv tomorrow night. Meta does comedy. He'll explain next on K-Rock. Having some fun now, Meta World Peace in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The artist formerly known as Ron Artest, former Chicago Bull, Indiana Pacer, Sacramento King, Houston Rocket, L.A. Laker, New York Knick. Did I leave anything out, Meta, or is that all of them?
Wow, no. I had all those jobs, man. A lot of jobs.
Who? When you your head hits the pillow at night and you reflect, who are you in your heart? What team do you still feel the closest to?
I mean, I had a great time. I had a great time in L.A. because of the ring.
Because you won the championship, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It was the first year here, then we won it, and then the next couple years, you know, we didn't really make it far. But, yeah, you know, the Lakers, I remember that the most. And then the fans here, I was able to be myself. I felt comfortable coming here and, you know, expressing myself. Whereas other teams, you know, small market teams, they don't really get it.
Really?
No, not really.
They don't get
a loud personality.
Oh.
You know? Somebody who's kind of obnoxious and loud.
Right.
Right? They don't really get it.
Right.
They don't really want it sometimes.
Yeah, we've been talking this past couple of weeks with the free agency and the trades and everything that's been going on about how disappointed it is for Kevin in particular as a lifelong Laker fan expects the team to be out there getting the best available players at all the time. And this summer has been so quiet.
Yeah.
Why do you suppose they're having so much trouble attracting good talent to the Lakers?
It's weird. I mean, the Lakers have the money. And the talent was available. I thought the Lakers would stack up, pay a couple people.
That's what I thought.
I was hoping LeBron would come.
That, you know, they were mentioned in every LeBron conversation.
Right.
But it was never seriously considered, and I thought, why?
I think LeBron did the right thing by going home.
Yeah, sure, if that's what his heart says.
I wish I could have spoke to him. I wanted him to come to the Lakers. I thought that it just would have been great, you know, for the city, for him, you know, and I always wanted to see LeBron in a Lakers uniform.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then Carmelo Anthony was supposedly going to come here, and then he's like, nope.
Yeah, but he's not leaving $30 million on the table.
No, that's a lot.
He's not that's a lot to leave.
But, yeah. I mean, are we at the point now where the Lakers is not one of the premier teams in the league that players dream about playing for? Is that the reputation that the club has now in basketball?
I think players want to see Kobe. Like right now, if you had a chance to play with Tim Duncan or Kobe, some people will play with Tim Duncan because they saw him play last year. He was effective. Everybody is like, okay, how is Kobe going to return from the injury?
Oh, I see. So they
and
don't
can
know.
Can we win, right?
Right.
So that's what's on everybody's mind right now, I think. Yeah. But they have a chance, and I heard they have a chance to get Marcus Gasol. No, maybe I think the Knicks have a chance to get Marcus. So I don't know who the Lakers have a chance to get right now.
I don't know. Because Powell left.
They may be calling you back, man.
Powell left. I know. Yeah, maybe. We've been talking to the Lakers. We're waiting to get a call back, but I'm not sure. But, you know, we'll see. You know, the Lakers has always been a great city for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's talk about Saturday night.
Yes.
This is what it's called. Meta World Peace presents I Want to Be Heard comedy tour hosted by Ron Artest at the Hollywood Improv. That's quite a title. What is it all about?
Well, Meta World Peace is, you know, it's actually Meta World Peace's show.
Okay.
I Want to Be Heard is is it a reason to give the comedians, you know, a chance to be heard and really take it to the next level?
Okay.
You know, as a comic.
Now, are you hosting or are you doing comedy?
Well, Ron Artest is actually hosting. I'm going to come up
with
a couple of jokes.
You're confusing me now. All right.
Ron Artest, when he's on stage, he's way different from Meta World Peace.
Okay. So Ron Artest is you.
Is me.
And Meta World Peace is you.
Yeah.
Ron Artest is very different, though, when he's on stage.
Very different.
Okay. How are you going to – are you telling jokes?
Sometimes I might tell jokes.
Okay.
See, the only reason I'm Ron Artest on stage is because the comics, they tell these jokes that's graphic, you know, rated R.
Right.
So if people was to happen to see me on stage with these comics, that's not Meta World Peace, that's Ron Artest.
I see.
You see what I'm saying?
So Ron Artest can get away with that. Meta World Peace can't.
No, Meta World Peace is all about peace. And,
are you crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, someone said.
Have you done this before? Is this a touring show that you've already performed in other cities?
Yep, we did it in New York City. I did about 8 shows.
Oh, okay.
I actually got on a stage sometimes. I had a set where I would write. I haven't written in a long time. So, on Saturday, I'll be off and on, you know.
Oh, so you'll be on the stage and bringing other people on and that kind of stuff, hosting?
Yeah, I'll bring people on and I'll be telling some jokes. But for the most part, I haven't written in a long time.
How? You've got all those George W. Bush jokes that are still fresh, right?
Yeah, those are easy.
How are you as a comedian?
I don't know. Somebody actually said, hey, Ron, will you want to do a comedy show? So I said, yeah, I'll do it. And I'm like,
and you said, hold on, I need to talk to Meta.
Yeah. And I'm like, first off, I said, why do you want me? Like, I'm not a comic. And so he said, just be yourself. And I was myself. And people liked it.
Right.
Right. So that's it. I'll just be myself up there.
Are you worried about it?
No.
It's not an imposing thing where
there's no pressure when you step on stage?
No, it's not intimidating, but I do respect. comedians. It's hard.
Now that you've been up there and done it, you understand their talent?
Yeah, because I can do it for 2 minutes, 3 minutes. These guys go up there for 30 minutes, and then guys like Kevin Hart, an hour.
Yep.
You know, there's a couple other great comics on YouTube. They be up there for an hour. That's hard.
Yeah. That's an amazing skill.
In front of 20,000 people, you have to make everybody laugh. Like, that's hard.
Yeah.
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 Well, I mean, it sounds like a super fun night, though. Now, are there any names we know of the comedians that you're going to be bringing with you Saturday?
There's
going
to be a lot of locals, and the locals, they draw.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, okay. They draw, so I'm looking forward to, I'm looking forward to.
Saturday night.
I love Chris D'Elia. You ever seen Chris D'Elia?
Yeah. We have him on the show all the time. Yeah, very funny.
Yeah, he's really good.
I like Lorenzo Vance. He's a local. He's pretty funny.
Okay.
There's a couple guys out there that got a good following around town.
Good. Yeah. Sounds like fun. Let me give out the information. Saturday night at 8 o'clock, this is going to be at the Hollywood Improv. Tickets are on sale now, just $20, 18 and over, please, at improv.com. And then, by the way, our friend Eddie Ift is the late show that night. He's going to be out at 10 o'clock, same venue. So it's a great, great, great night of comedy there at the Hollywood Improv. All right, so what job do you have to leave and go do now, Matty?
You got to
go coach girls now or write a rap, or what are you doing next?
I'm going to go sweep. Somewhere. I go sweep Starbucks.
You're going to take the day off, baby.
Well, I got 4 kids, so there's no taking any days off.
Okay, yeah.
And my kids are very, very busy, so yeah. I guess I'll find them right now.
I'm going to be fascinated to see what happens with you and playing basketball in the next couple of months. I guess we'll find out whether you're going to a team or you're going to play in China, what you're going to do.
Yeah, stay tuned. Wherever I go, we're in the internet age right now,
sure.
So please, wherever I go, stay tuned, people, whether it's China, you know, I guess they have translators now.
Sure.
Like on, you know.
Sure.
In real time. So, yeah. So stay tuned.
Well, we're always happy we get a chance to catch up with you, man. Thanks so much for the time today.
All right. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Mead Show at 9:38.
Kevin and who?
Bean.
I said Kevin and me show.
It was Kevin and me. Oh, that's what I heard, too.
That would be a perfect world, wouldn't
it? I would never stop listening to the Kevin and me show. Just Kevin talking to himself for 4 hours a day.
Hey, I bet Rod Artest talks to Better World Peace all
that's
the time.
True.
Why can't Kevin talk to me?
I'm sure he does.
All right. Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
Well, got to tell you, Weird Al, he's just blowing up this week. He's everywhere.
He is everywhere. He was on The View a couple of days ago, by the way. And they couldn't rush him out of the chair fast enough to get to Cynthia Nixon. It was unbelievable.
Really?
Well, they had it. Yeah, they agreed to have him stop by. They talked to him for like 2 minutes, and then they said, hey, a chick who used to be on Sex and the City is here, so bye, Al.
But think of that show and think about the audience, and who do they want to see? They
Listen,
want to see
Beans
Weird Al?
All butthurt because Al got treated poorly.
I know. Usually they'd be like, what? I love Sex and the City. I was looking forward to Cynthia Nixon. You put her next to Weird Al, then she
well,
loses
I'm
her luster.
A strongly worded letter to The View, I'll tell you
that.
Help.
Sure you are. Anyways, on Conan O'Brien tonight, I'm going to give you a little programming note. A heads up, Al and the band will be performing live a song from the new album. No word on what song yet, but the videos keep on coming. He's dropping a video a day for 8 days in support of his new album, Mandatory Fun. First, we got Tacky, which was funny, except for Margaret Cho. And then Foil was very funny. And then today's new video is Handy, which is a spoof, of course, of the Iggy Azalea song Fancy.
Right.
But instead of being fancy, Al, in this particular case, is very handy with tools.
I give you word crime, like I could care less.
That's not the right
was song. Was that on purpose, Kevin?
No, it was not.
That was Beer Mug pointing to it and going, that's it.
Oh.
That's the one.
Maybe it's not the third one on the list, then. Maybe it was,
I don't know.
Was it the horrible one Omar said with the bad audio quality? Do we remember that?
No, that was inactive.
Oh, that was inactive.
No. Yeah, I don't know. Hmm. I can't tell you.
Hmm.
All I know is I played what I was told to play.
Well, you did a good
job.
Now
you want me to play that one?
Try that
is
one.
Try this one?
Nope,
that's
same
the same
one. Exact same one.
Song.
How do you do the same one? Played.
I can understand you being wrong, but I can't be wrong with the same song twice, Beer Mug. That I can't understand.
Why would you point
I know
out
we're playing
yes?
Weird Al Roulette at this point, but I thought maybe there would be a different song at least.
Look, while Muggs finds the clip, I'm serious about this question that I'm going to ask you, Ralph. And
all
I know
right.
you guys. I know you guys turn on me a little bit when I'm too excited about something. And I do. Maybe I love Al too much.
No.
By the way, you do.
No.
Maybe I do. But in 2014, the fact that Al Mother Effin' Yankovic has the number one best-selling album in America, as he does right now on iTunes, That's pretty remarkable for a guy who's been doing what he's been doing as long as he has. I mean, it's astonishing that he's still so popular, right?
I agree. I think your love of him is excessive, but I do think it is a remarkable achievement for a man, especially with his unique skill set, to be cranking out major hit records at this stage in his career.
But you just think about all the other, you know, quote-unquote novelty acts throughout the years people have a limited attention span for. The Chipmunks don't still sell. You know what I mean? Stuff comes and goes, and people go, oh, that's funny, and then they move on to something else. But somehow Al manages to stay current.
Right, take it easy.
It's a testament.
Holy crap.
I think Al bests the Chipmunk guy seeing as he's dead and all. That's probably right. Why he's doing better than Ross Bagdasarian.
Now, Beerbong is pointing. Good pull, Ralph. Beerbong is pointing to another clip. Am I the idiot if I play it?
Yes, but I think we have to.
All right. Well worth the wait.
There we go. There's the new video that's out today. Handy. You know, I don't think we're going to get any better than this, so I'm just going to wrap things up. Today's celebrity birthdays. These stars were born on this day, July the 17th. Kerry Hart is 39 years old today. He's not riding anymore, is he, Kerry?
I don't think so. I think he's retired.
Former motocross rider. Still wearing his sunglasses at night? Is he doing that?
That's a different guy. That's Corey Hart.
Ah, 39 years old. Jason Clarke, very talented actor, currently can be seen as Malcolm, the hero of the piece. The human hero of the piece, if you will, on Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. He is 45 years old. Alex Winter, one of the stars of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and also their Bogus Journey. 49 years old. Mark Burnett, TV producer extraordinaire. Man who gave us Survivor and then never gave us jingles. I'll never forget
him. That's true.
Enough. Never got jingles. Geezer Butler, Black Sabbath bassist, is 65 years old. Actor Donald Sutherland is 79. And David Hasselhoff, 62 years old today.
This is a mess.
I got to tell you something. For a 62-year-old man
who
has done what he's done to his body over the years,
that's true.
He is a miracle. It is a phenomenon that he looks as good as he does at 62. Did you see his...
That he's still alive at 62.
Did you see his celebratory picture for Germany when they won the World Cup?
I'm not buying it, though.
He's like,
he's wasting
like
a lot of beer.
And everything.
Tossing beer
in the air.
That's not what we know about him.
Well, we never saw the beer hit the ground, Kevin.
Oh, good point.
My guess is he threw the beer up in the air, and then he ran around catching it all the beer in the air before it hit the ground.
He could do that.
Absolutely, he could do that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning we have Jim Norton, comedian. We have Casey Cantazaro, who is the American Ninja Warrior, the first girl that has ever conquered that particular course.
Maybe by the first person. I think she's crushed it. I think she did better than almost anybody else, didn't she, in terms of time?
I think so.
Yes, yes. She's, it was amazing.
She's a phenomenon.
Anyone who thinks they're in good shape, watch this video of Casey. She's 5 foot tall, 100 pounds, and she's just a machine. It's like you're watching a Hollywood special effects movie.
Well, that course is brutal.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
And I've
yeah.
always felt it favors the small.
Oh, do you?
Because I think there's a lot of... hanging from stuff and swinging from stuff and everything. And I think big people have a problem with that. If you're carrying a lot of weight, it's a little more difficult than if you're agile and quick.
Do you remember when Beer Mug tried it?
Yeah.
That was strong.
Well, I think when we have her on tomorrow, Ralph, you should tell her that what she did was not that impressive.
No. I'm just thinking, I think sometimes the people who are limber and agile and athletic have an advantage over the muscle-bound, really strong people, you know, a lot of those types of courses.
I know this isn't the point, but she's also very pretty.
Who would expect me to come up with something creepy that's not the point or germane to the conversation?
I'm just saying.
I wonder if she wears pasties while she's on the course.
She's not some monstrous gym rat is what I'm saying. She's a very, very pretty, petite young woman who also happens to be phenomenally athletic.
I wonder who she's having sex with on the course. There's a lot of attractive young people on that course. I wonder who they're having sex with.
Movie beat, because it's Friday, brand new internet roundup, Comic-Con tickets, and Weird Al. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Me.